From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But they're coming to the finish, and it is all Barbaro. It is sublime performance. He runs away from them all, and he has saved something left for the Preakness. Barbaro wins by 7.
Musket Man charging, and Mind That Bird on the far outside. The Derby winner, Mind That Bird, closing a late gap. But it is Rachel Alexandra. She's simply above and beyond them. A filly has won the Preakness.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Senyata, 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 and Flying Flame trying to hold on. Flame and Senyata, the Flame has won it ahead. Senyata ran her heart out but had to settle for second.
Oh, they've opened up a six-length lead here with 1 furlong to run. They've left the field railing behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are 5 behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, talking racing with you for the next 3 hours, right up until 11 a.m. Eastern on the show that launched a network. With the second consecutive postponement of the Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn, there are no Derby points races being contested in the U.S. this weekend. You do have the Hyacinth at Tokyo Race Course in Japan, but nothing here in the U.S. The Southwest is pushed to next Saturday, along with the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream. And next Friday, you have the John Battaglia Memorial at Turfway. So you have 3 points races coming up next weekend, weather pending. But it looks like things are trending in the right direction. And for so many of you who are dealing with brutal conditions, without power, without water, we're thinking of you. And this will get better shortly. At least we are hoping it does. Certainly no shortage of storylines to talk about here this morning. There's a little race taking place today, some 7,000-plus miles west of the United States, known as the Saudi Cup, the world's richest horse race with a purse of $20 million, post time 12:40 Eastern, that's 9:40 Pacific, and a great showdown between two of the top older horses in the United States. You have the Bob Baffert-trained Charlatan, who will have the services of Hall of Fame rider Mike Smith. More on that storyline in a minute. And Nick's Go from the barn of reigning champion trainer Brad Cox, who, by the way, is on pace to win more than 220 races this year. It would be the 5th consecutive year that Brad has topped the 200 win mark. Last weekend, he sent out Mandaloon to win the Grade 3 Risen Star at the fairgrounds, making Mandaloon the current leader in the clubhouse with 52 Derby qualifying points to his credit. That almost assures that you're going to get into the Derby starting gate, I'd say. 52 points, you're pretty safe. Brad Cox is going to be with me at 9 o'clock Eastern to talk about the Saudi Cup. He'll talk about Mandaloon, and he'll talk about making adjustments with the schedule now, with his juvenile champion, Essential Quality, who was set to go in the Southwest last weekend, and now it's postponed again to next weekend, so he has a 2-week delay getting the champ back in action. I'll talk to him about what he's doing and what the plans are moving forward with Essential Quality, and Monomoy Girl, who is looking to get back to the races too. She was pointing for Oaklawn as well. The Mike Smith return to Saudi Arabia is interesting to me. You remember last year, Mike was stripped of his estimated $210,000 in prize money for his second-place finish aboard Midnight Bisou, and he was hit with a 9-day suspension for, quote-unquote, breaking whip rules. It's the biggest penalty against a jockey in the history of horse racing. He also got hit with another 2-day ban for failing to weigh in after another race. And then, through no fault of his own, just kind of add insult to injury, his victory in the International Jockeys Challenge was taken away because one of his horses tested positive for a banned substance. Now, Mike is a classy guy, and he's been politically correct with all of his statements regarding this year's event. But if you don't think this is personal, for Big Money Mike, you're kidding yourself. When somebody takes 200 G's out of your pocket and then suspends you for an extended series of days, preventing you from earning even more money, you're damn right it becomes personal. And I will guarantee you the competitor in Mike Smith will be on full display later today. All I could picture as I was thinking about this particular situation, do you remember in Rocky IV when Rocky goes to take on Ivan Drago in Russia and the plane lands in Siberia or Russia or wherever the heck it was, and he steps off the plane, he looks around, and he's got that steely look of determination on his face, unfazed by anything going on around him. There was one mission for Rocky Balboa in Rocky IV when he went to Russia. There is one mission for Mike Smith later today in the Saudi Cup. I can guarantee you that. Banned 2 days for not passing the scale after a race. How many times has Mike Smith done that in his career? He was given bad information. Come on. A Hall of Fame jockey with more than 5,600 wins doesn't just forget to weigh in after a race, especially a $20 million race. If Charlatan is good enough today, Mike Smith will get his redemption. Whether he's calling it that publicly or not, it's redemption. This is the redemption trip for Mike Smith. And I'm pretty sure he's all business in Saudi Arabia. Speaking of Hall of Fame riders, it was great to see Javier Castellano return to the saddle this past Wednesday for the first time since undergoing his hip surgery in mid-November. Javier is going to be with me in the first hour of the program at 8:35 Eastern to talk about what he has gone through over the past several months and what it was like getting back in the saddle. Trainer Robertino Diodoro, who trains Keep Me In Mind, currently number 5 in the Derby point standings, is going to be with me at 9:25. And he's in a similar situation to Brad Cox with Essential Quality. But Keep Me In Mind was cross-entered in the Risen Star and the Southwest Stakes last weekend. Then the Southwest was postponed to this weekend, and now, as I said, postponed again to next weekend. Robertino decided he would wait for the Southwest this weekend. Didn't know it was going to get postponed again. Well, now that the race has been pushed back, what's his strategy? How does that affect the path to the Kentucky Derby for Keep Me In Mind? Again, 9:25 Eastern is when Robertino will be here. You want to be sure that you're with me for the final segment of today's show. That's at 10:40 Eastern time as I bring you the incredible story of prominent Peruvian owner breeder Boris Schwartzman. He decided, think about this, he decided to persevere and rebuild after 8 armed intruders stormed his historic farm in Peru in December of 2019, killing 4 of his stallions for their meat. It's an amazing story. And Boris is pushing through, and he's back in the game and continuing in a big way. He'll be kind enough to be with me at 10:40 this morning. Also on today's show, you're going to hear today's first bet, courtesy of our friends at First Bet. Calling All 3-Year-Olds, presented by Spendthrift Farm. Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne. That's right, this is an Unsung Heroes week. We'll go in the room with Sean Clancy for his one-on-one conversation with veteran rider Mario Pino. And we'll take a stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker. That segment presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. Poll question today, you can go to @HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to let me know your thoughts. If you were given the opportunity to own any 3 racehorses, past or present, who are you choosing? Which 3 are you choosing? That poll question brought to you by OwnerView and the Thoroughbred Owner Conference. If you were given the opportunity to own any 3 racehorses, past or present, which are you choosing? At HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. When I come back, I'll kick off the show with Price Bell, the general manager of Millridge Farm here in Lexington. Price has joined me several times, and I'm expecting another Oscar performance from him here today. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Pin Oak Stud's Alternation ranks highly among Kentucky's fourth crop sires by percentage of black type winners from runners. With nearly $5.5 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by five black type horses in 2020. His brilliant Kentucky Oaks winner, Serengeti Empress, won the Grade 1 Ballerina at Saratoga and was runner-up in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. First or second in six Grade 1 events, Serengeti Empress amassed over $2.1 million. Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
Oscar Performance, the pinnacle of success as a precocious juvenile and again at three.
Oscar Performance, bravo! He wins the juvenile turf.
Oscar Performance has won the Secretary of State's.
Oscar Performance goes all the way in the Belmont Derby Invitational.
And the pinnacle of success at four, equaling the world record for a mile in the Grade 3 poker and dominating the competition in the Grade 1 Woodbine Mile.
But it's Oscar Performance shrugs them off. A gate-to-wire winner.
Oscar Performance, standing at Millridge.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
5/16 to run. Oscar Performance heads for home, joined by Mr. Haberkamp on the outside. Right behind them, Delta Prince, Stormy Antarctic. Oscar Performance and Mr. Haberkamp. Divisadero and Stormy Antarctic running on. Delta Prince behind. Oscar Performance in front. Oscar Performance and Mr. Haberkamp neck and neck. And down in third, Stormy Antarctic. But it's Oscar Performance shrugs them off. A gate-to-wire winner. Oscar Performance by a length and a half, Mr. Haberkamp, Stormy Antarctic, and Delta Prince. And then came Divisadero.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you all the way up until 11 a.m. Eastern on this three-hour edition of the Equine Forum here this morning. If you are just getting that news, this show expanding to 3 hours a couple of weeks ago, and boy, so many of you have sent me beautiful notes and tweets and telling me how much you're enjoying it. So we'll continue to plug along and make the show even better for you week in and week out. That was the call of the 2018 Woodbine Mile, the final of four Grade 1 wins in the stellar career of Oscar Performance, who is now standing stud at Millridge here in Lexington, Kentucky. And joining me now is the general manager of that historic farm, Price Bell Jr. Price, good morning, my friend. Thanks for taking some time.
Good morning, Mike. How are you today?
I'm well, my friend. You know, I mentioned the four Grade 1 wins by Oscar Performance, and not only did he win those four Grade 1s, but then he throws in a world record-equaling performance in the Grade 3 poker in 2018 as well. Was there anything this horse couldn't do?
You know, he was a serious racehorse. You know, we've all had a little bit more time during this quarantine year, if you will. And the other day I was watching his Breeders' Cup Juvenile with our daughter, who wanted to watch some horse racing. So I thought it was an appropriate race to show. And, you know, I had forgotten that he wins in commanding fashion, you know, breaks from the gate, gets over and wins, you know, very convincingly. But what surprised me that to be reminded, he didn't break from the gate like a Wesley Ward star. You know, he broke, you know, and really quickened, and then to settle and then to go again and beat him handily, he was really just most impressive. And actually, I guess pertinent to today, in that juvenile turf field was Channel Maker. So, you know, I guess that here years later, Oscar Performance's form is still certainly holding up.
I love that story about sitting there with your daughter. And how did that work? Did she come to you and say, "Daddy, I want to watch a horse race," and you just pop in the tape of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile?
Well, I wish it was, she is three and a half. She's very clear to point out she's that half. She was having a stomach ache, which she defined as crickets in her stomach, which I don't exactly know how crickets, you know, got in her stomach, one, or what the feeling of a cricket in the stomach for a three-and-a-half-year-old would be. But I think that she was really more a coercion, that she wanted to watch television and knew that I would be a sucker to watch horse racing. And so that was the actual request was, "Daddy, can we watch some horse racing?" So that she could lie down and watch watch TV. So I was more the, she knew the easy way to my heart. How about that?
Is she old enough to have a favorite horse yet?
No, although, you know, it's funny. Our son would say, first he would say Keep Up, and then he would say Oscar Performance. I think Keep Up was an easier word to say when he first started talking, and Keep Up was so our son is turned six at the end of March, and so he remembers Keep Up and cheering. But, you know, a very special moment for our family was our son George is my dad's first grandson, and our grandchild rather, son or daughter. And he was alive when Oscar won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And we didn't go out to Santa Anita. We were here. And so my dad George was sitting in dad's lap as Oscar Performance turned for home. We're watching it at the office and, you know, cheering him home. And so that's a very special, you know, memory for me is I think George's, one of his first horse races was in my dad's lap watching Oscar Performance win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf.
That is one of the truly special aspects of Millridge, going back to, of course, your grandmother and beyond, and just thinking about the family history and tradition, your father, who you mentioned, Heedley. This is, you know, Price, it's something that I have always respected immensely about Millridge and the way that your family has approached the business. But how important is it for you to make sure that you are teaching your children now, and eventually beyond that, how important it is to about that family history and about that legacy at Millridge?
Well, I appreciate you saying so. You know, it's always felt like one of the greatest privileges of my life to work here on the farm and to, you know, to associate with my grandmother and my dad and the incredible path of my uncle Reynolds and all those kind of before that have made Millridge what it is today. So Gatewood Bell is my cousin and one of my closest friends. And when we were in seventh grade, we approached our parents to go to work that summer. I think it was the summer before seventh grade. And Jimmy was running John Bell. And so anyway, my dad, Heedley, and Jimmy, you know, sat us down and were like, you know, that's great that you want to come and work, but understand that this is a privilege to work. And that if you don't treat it as a privilege to work side by side with everybody, who, you know, works at the farm, then you will lose that privilege very quickly. And so I guess it's always been framed to me in that way. And I've always regarded it as such, you know, that we have this incredible land and that has produced incredible horses. And then to associate and work with, you know, an animal like the thoroughbred every day, you know, shoulder to shoulder and hand in hand with the team, it's just the best. So, you know, relative to my family, if I can share that with George and Caroline as they grow up, then that's, you know, wonderful. But it's not something that I feel like I have to, but I more feel like I have to just share with them, you know, the place, the beauty of it, and the pride of family history. But we can't, you know, no generation has kind of rested on that. We've all worked towards advancing, you know, the breed forward and the farm and the industry. And so if I can instill that, or if Beth, my wife, and I can instill that in our children, then that would be, you know, I guess the greatest gift.
Talking with Millridge General Manager Price Bell Jr. Well said, well stated there, Price. Gatewood, your cousin, recently announced, Keeneland recently announced that he would be the vice president of racing there, starting with this upcoming meet. Spectacular. Glad to see him in that position. He has to be pretty fired up about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, he's incredible. He's an incredible judge of a horse, but he's also, this will be a short story, but I think, so he worked at Jonabell probably however old you are in seventh grade, like 13 or so.
Yeah.
Soon as he could drive, he started working. He's always been drawn to the track. He's always been an incredible handicapper. I remember, Cherokee Runs, maybe First Crop had Chaluki in it. And I remember going, that was about the time we were 16. I remember going to Keeneland with him to bet on Chaluki. So that was about 16. At that time, he was also working for his uncle Johnny at Thoroughbred Center. And so he really carved out a path through the racetrack, after college. He went and worked for Kieran McLaughlin for 2 years and then spun that out and represented, Fernando Hara, for a couple of years or so, and then came back to Lexington and started, honing his craft as a bloodstock agent. And so, as someone who has always, adored Keeneland and been a big, fabric of his life, and now to go and work with his experience, really kind of from the racetrack experience forward, I just think he's incredibly accomplished and really excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him in that position. Let's get back to Agreed. Oscar performance.
Real quick, I'll supplement that just slightly, Mike, but I spent a summer at Belmont Park. I spent 6 weeks at Belmont and working for Christoph, and I say working, I was, walking hot. And in the end, I ended up living in my car because it was a fine accommodation relative to the other choices around. And, it says a lot about a friendship and also a love of the racetrack. Gatewood was at the time working in the financial services space in Dallas, and he flew up to LaGuardia for a long weekend, maybe the 4th of July weekend, and he slept in the front seat and I slept in the back seat or the way back with the seats, folded down for 4 days while we, lived together in the car on the back stretch of Belmont Park. And so I think he spent many more nights, like many do who work on the track, when he went to work for Kieran, running into a similar kind of housing scenario. So, but that's dedication.
Fantastic.
How about that?
Fantastic story. Yeah, that's something that a lot of people, I'm sure, were not aware of. And it just shows you, learning from the ground up. I guess it doesn't get any more ground up than that.
That's right. That's right.
Well, let's get back to Oscar performance for a minute, because one thing that didn't surprise me was when your dad sent me an email and he said, this horse has been so well supported, and he's had such a strong group of shareholders involved with him. Tell me more about that side of it with Oscar performance.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Ammerman gave us a tremendous opportunity. They bred Oscar performance out of their great mare, Divine Actress. And, they gave us a tremendous an opportunity to, syndicate Oscar performance and then stand him at stud. And as we went to syndicate him, we just were very lucky by the breadth and the depth of the shareholders that joined us, from Mr. Strawbridge's Augustine Stable and ultimately supporting, Oscar performance, every year with a few mayors, including the Dam of Bricks and Mortar, even John Magner with his Orpindale division, bought a share in Oscar performance. And so there was certainly the Gunthers of Glenwood Farm. So there was an international kind of breeding base, standing a turf horse in America has certainly, against the grain. It's not the typical commercial stallion. And so the breadth of the shareholders really kind of came in and helped support that. And many of them had an international appeal. Many of them have loved turf racing. And I think many just appreciated the opportunity to be involved in a horse of his caliber.
Yeah, 118 mares bred in 2019, 116 mares bred in 2020, his second year at stud. So the beat goes on for Oscar Performance. The support continues. Price, what has, you know, you've been around a lot of good horses. You've seen a lot of good stallions. What has impressed you most about Oscar Performance?
You know, I guess it's a great question. I mean, as a racehorse, he was just brilliant. You know, I mean, he was a speed horse that just took it to him and, you know, ran fast, ran hard, and ran them off their feet. You know, as a physical, he's beautifully balanced. He's very correct, which is, you know, and he's a big, strong, strapping horse, which I think we think of as a maybe atypical for Kitten's Joys. You know, Kitten's Joys certainly is known to throw a toughness to his offspring, and I think Oscar Performance has the toughness plus the physical that we may not always see at the sales grounds. Oscar Performance was never offered for sale, so it was fun to show him off to people and hear people's reactions say, like, wow, what a good, strong, correct horse. And I think, you know, what he has thrown in the now yearlings that we have on the farm, they just feel quite classy. You know, they just have a very classy, well-balanced look. Dr. Bob Hunt who's a big part of our team. He's an equine surgeon, and he does confirmation exams. And he was through actually just the other day as we were kind of reviewing our yearlings, and he just commented that, wow, these are really nice horses. And so I think, you know, at this stage, it's all hope, but he has thrown and given every indication that that his offspring will go and be successful, you know, at the racetrack. His first foals were very well received in the November and January breeding stock sales. So hopefully it carries forward.
Yeah, this is a game that's built on hopes and dreams. As a matter of fact, trainer Todd Fincher, who trained Senor Buscador, who was fifth in the Risen Star last weekend, he joined me on my trainer talk show on Wednesday this week, and he made a comment that we wake up dreaming every day in this sport. And I can imagine when you start getting yearlings, it probably starts with weanlings. You get the weanlings out there by a new stallion. You get the first crop of yearlings and then the first crop of two-year-olds, and they start to get to the races. Hope springs eternal, and the dream is very much alive when you have a horse as good as Oscar Performance and his babies start arriving. Is that a good way to look at it, Price?
I'd say it even starts, I guess the baton starts when they're born, and just those first moments and that look and that the look that they look for their mother, and then watching their mother look, you know, to them. And that, I mean, it's just magical. And, you know, we raise horses and we don't do any kind of pre-training. And so we raise them those first 18, 20 months and then hand the baton over to someone else. And they carry the dream forward. And then hopefully we all meet in the winner's circle and exchange a high five and a hug and maybe a tear of joy. And that's really what it's all about, right?
That is what it's all about. And the advertising campaign that is associated with Oscar Performance right now, I think, sums it up perfectly. The pinnacle of success is the slogan you've chosen to go with. I think that is spot on. And, Price, I can't thank you enough for being here with me this morning, and all the best with Oscar Performance and with the kids and the entire family out there at Millridge. Enjoy it, and it's going to be a great ride with Oscar Performance.
Well, we sure hope so, Mike, and thank you, and look forward to seeing you in Saratoga. Hopefully we'll be showcasing a couple Oscar Performances. So and hope to see you before then, but I know we always enjoy sitting trackside with you and Jude there, and then for the Saratoga sale kind of night of hopefully we're exchanging a high five or two that night. So
yeah, let's do it. Amen to that, brother. Price Bell Jr. here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Appreciate it, Price. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mike.
That interview brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Where would you love? Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Yeah, hope springs eternal indeed. And you have to think that for not just Oscar Performance, but the stallions that now have those first yearlings on the ground and then their first two-year-olds getting ready to get to the track, it's a special time. And that's what this sport is really all about. When I come back, I'm going to talk with Hall of Fame jockey Javier Castellano, who is back on the comeback trail, got back in the saddle after a few months off recovering from surgery to his hip. He'll be with me when I come back. First, it's time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by Lexus of Lexington.
The story of this great thoroughbred might easily fit the needed scenario for a five-star bit of Hollywood magic. All the necessary ingredients are indeed there. In the summer of 1940, because of protracted German bombing of the British Isles, the British Bloodstock Agency offered for sale five stallions to American interests. Mr. C.B. Whitney purchased one who had won the Epsom Derby in record time. The contemporaries of the time cast a rather jaundiced eye, so to speak, on the purchase, and that the horse was considered to be essentially a sprinter, with little consequent, at least apparently, chance of upgrading American breeding strains. The fact is, the 7-year-old gray very nearly never made it to America at all. Now, that in itself is a fascinating story which bears retelling. He was transported to America by ship, or at least was supposed to be, and accordingly installed in a crate and hoisted aboard a vessel which was part of a convoy headed across the Atlantic. Soon after sailing, the captain of the freighter discovered the horse's bill of lading, and, as this manifest forbade him from taking on livestock, the horse was returned to the dock. That, as it turned out, was a providential stroke of good fortune. You see, that particular vessel was torpedoed by a German U-boat and went to a watery grave at the bottom of the briny deep with nary a trace of a survivor. A subsequent freighter brought the equine specimen to American shores. At the New York dock assignated as the debarkation point, there was no horse unloading equipment, so it was decided to take him off the ship via a long and treacherously steep passenger gangplank. While he stood at the top, pensively surveying the scene and waited, filled with curiosity, steadfastly refusing debarkation. Straw was used to line the gangplank, and he was fed hay, all to no avail. Eventually, he was enticed down with sugar. Curiously enough, many of this stallion's get demonstrated that self-same temperament which was displayed at the New York dock in that year of 1940. When one of our subject stallion's daughter's first flight with a crafty veteran reinsman, Hetty Eddie Arcaro in the irons, came out onto the racetrack for the 1946 Futurity, she stopped for an extended time in front of the stands, not acting up, mind you, just looking up and down the track until her curiosity was fully satisfied. She then went calmly, quietly and professionally to the starting gate and promptly galloped off to an impressive score over the very best colts the East could offer by way of opposition. In the breeding shed, this stud was awesome, and the reason was really quite simple. He had five characteristics that were of paramount importance in passing on to new foals: soundness, speed, confirmation, fertility, and something that cannot be seen or measured, his natural intelligence and temperament, which made his progeny very easy to handle. He was, in his prime in the breeding shed, the unequivocal, undisputedly foremost broodmare sire in the world. All told, he begat 68 stakes winners and was North America's leading sire in 1946, and he was a leading sire for 14 straight years. That marvelous gray stallion knew and appreciated human affection and yet did not exploit it. He was never too busy to stroll to his paddock fence for an endearing pat. He was kind, gentle, and uncomplicated. His nickname was Toby, but this great stallion, whose name is indelibly etched in the now yellowing pages of American racing history, was Mahmood.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit Lexus of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at Lexus of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes every fall. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
DeMarshall Yeh offers breeders a rare opportunity. Out of a full sister to champions Yesterday and Quarter Moon, his picture-perfect pedigree includes 8 Grade 1 winners under the first 3 dams. A winner in his 2-year-old debut at Aqueduct, he was named a TDN Rising Star.
He captured a decisive victory at Keeneland and won the Grade 3 Pennine Ridge Stakes at Belmont. The only son of top sire Dubawi standing in Kentucky. DeMarshall Yeh standing at Claiborne Farm.
Racing fans, you can watch every Santa Anita race free of charge at santaanita.com/live, and you can watch and wager at First Bet. That's first.com/bet. Make plans to join us online this weekend. On Saturday, a field of 10 older fillies and mares will go 1 mile on turf in the Grade 2 $200,000 Buena Vista, and we'll also have leg two of the 10-man starter distance series at 1¼ miles on grass. On Sunday, California-bred fillies and mares will go 6 furlongs on the main track in the $100,000 Spring Fever Stakes. Looking ahead to Saturday, March 6th, we'll have 5 stakes, including the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap and the Grade 2 San Felipe, one of America's most important Derby preps. With first post time at 12:30, join us early at 11:20 a.m. as track announcer Frank Miramati and Tom Quigley handicap each day's card at santaanita.com/live.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the Conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they come for the top of the stretch in the run-happy Met Mile, Vekoma narrowly, Warriors Charge in behind is Network Effect. McKenzie's on the outside with Endorsed, and out in the middle of the track, it is Code of Honor. They're coming down for the 16th pole, and here comes Code of Honor on the outside. Vekoma continues the battle on down at the rail. It is Vekoma who's going to win the run-happy Met Mile. Vekoma the winner, close for second between Network Effect and Code of Honor. And the mile was run in 1:32.45.
John Embriel with the call of last year's Met Mile. Vekoma with the victory under Hall of Fame jockey Javier Castellano. That was one of 8 Grade 1 wins in 2020 for Javier. Of course, he went to the sidelines in mid-November having surgery on his hip, which was bothering him. So not the kind of year that he was hoping for in 2020, but he's back. He returned on Wednesday, and I'm going to talk to Javier coming up in just a minute. But before I do, it is time to help you pick a winner as we take a look at today's First Bet, brought to you by our friends at First Bet.
And now, today's First Bet.
Well, today's First Bet comes in race 6 at Laurel, the Wide Country Stakes, which has a post of 253 Eastern. It's number 5, Street Loot, 2-1. Morning line odds, a 33% First Bet win projection for Street Loot, who rates 15 points higher than the next closest win contender. Looks to go 7-4-8 lifetime and win her 5th straight. That mixed stats show trainer Jerry Robb came into this week 5 of his last 12 at Laurel, and the expected tote action on Little Huntress in this race could help hold a fair price for today's First Bet, which is number 5, Street Loot, in race 6 at Laurel. I'll be right back after this word from First Bet.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number 1, st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Well, there are plenty of people who will make their first bet of the day on a horse ridden by Hall of Fame jockey Javier Castellano, and for good reason. He has won more than 5,300 races in that Hall of Fame career. As I mentioned just a short time ago, it wasn't the type of season in 2020 that the Hall of Famer is used to having. His win numbers were way down. A lot of that had to do with taking time off early, somewhat early, mid-November, wrapping up his season earlier than he normally would. The other thing he battled through in 2020 was COVID early on. He got COVID and was asymptomatic but unable to ride for a short period of time there. So he lost business at a time when he would normally really be rolling. So I'm going to talk to Javier coming up in just a few minutes. We are efforting the Hall of Fame rider now and looking forward to that visit coming up shortly. At the end of this first of 3 hours this morning, you're going to hear a Kentucky Bred update. That's a monthly update from the KTA KTOB. You're going to hear from trainer Brad Cox at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. 9:25, I'll be joined by trainer Robertino Diodoro. Looking forward to that visit. And in the room with Sean Clancy comes up to kick off Hour 3 at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Sean sits down for a one-on-one jockey-to-jockey conversation with Mario Pino. And we'll stroll through racing history in the last hour of the show as well as I visit with, as Kurt Becker brings you his stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and by Keeneland. And the very last interview on the show today at 10:40 Eastern is one that you absolutely will not want to miss. It is longtime prominent Peruvian owner breeder Boris Schwartzman, who will be with me again 10:40 Eastern time. What a story this is, a story of perseverance, a story of determination, and a sad story as well. It was in December of 2019 that 8 armed intruders stormed in to Boris's historic farm in Peru. They killed 4 of his stallions for their meat. And Boris thought about hanging it up. He said, this is just ridiculous. But then he stepped back and he thought about it, and he's persevering, and he's rebuilding, and he's getting back in the game in a big way. And looking forward to visiting with Boris Schwartzman. It's a great, great story, and he is going to be kind enough to be with me at 10:40 Eastern to tell me that story. So really excited about that. Don't forget, poll question today, brought to you by OwnerView and the Thoroughbred Owner Conference. If you were given the opportunity to own any of 3 racehorses, past or present, who are you choosing? Which 3 racehorses are you going? If you had to start your stable with 3 horses, I'm sure a lot of people, there's going to be Secretariat in there for sure, right? But if you could own it, there are other, plenty of other horses that people have as their favorite horses of all time. I mean, I know for me, the first one I'm choosing is Holy Bull. I'm going to have Holy Bull in there. I'm going to have, you know who else I'm going to have in there? And this will be a bit of a surprise. And that's what I'm looking forward to with this poll question today, is getting all kinds of different answers. But I'm going to have Excellent Meeting in there. Do you remember Excellent Meeting? Tremendous filly. She, as a matter of fact, she's my all-time favorite filly. Trained by Bob Baffert, who ran in the Kentucky Derby, then came back and ran in the Preakness, and then after that, she really didn't do much more. All right, just got a text from Javier Castellano, by the way, and asked if we could give him 10 minutes and call him back. So, Lee, back in the studio, let's try Javier back in 10 minutes, and we'll make sure that everything is good. He is tied up a little bit at the moment, but he'll be back with us here shortly. So why don't we do this then? Why don't we go ahead and step away for another break? We'll come back with your Kentucky Bred update, a word from our friends at Healthnetics, and then we'll get ready to welcome in Javier Castellano for the last couple of minutes. We'll do that next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling at Saratoga. Taprit's victories include the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes.
And they're into the stretch. Irish War Cry turns for home with Taprit trying to run him down in the last furlong. The two of them are now a half length apart. They are clear of Gormley and Patch. It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
In his first 2 years at stud, Taprit has bred over 240 mares. Now his first weanlings have arrived, selling for up to $100,000. One of the best bred sons of sire sires, Taprit, to ever enter stud. Classic winner and stakes record setter, Taprit, standing at Gainsway.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant.
It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
There's a corner of Kentucky in Bourbon County, which some refer to as the Promised Land. There's something in the soil and water that make it something special. So special that some of the world's greatest horsemen have staked their claim in the soil just outside of Paris. Iconic names such as Claiborne, Coolmore, Stone, and Darley grace the fence lines which have housed champions for generations. The name Alapa shines as a tribute to the Gilded Age, sharing the stature and grandeur of its neighbors. Born from the wealth, passion, and imagination of Edward Sims, no expense was spared to fulfill his vision. Sims was in the same league as John Madden and Arthur B. Hancock Sr. as a commercial breeder. The torch has been passed. Welcome to Hill and Dale. At Alapa.
I'm 3-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I'm listening to Horse Racing Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Midpoint on the turn, Midnight Bourbon has confronted Brighton Just, and Mandaloon has been right with them. Proxy now tips to the forepath. Oh, Baseless on the far outside. Senior Buscador was the wide out past the quarter pole. Three quarters, 1 minute 12.74 seconds. Mandaloon has taken a short lead from a battling Midnight Bourbon. On the outside is a Proxy, then Oh, Baseless, Senior Buscador. They come past the 16th. It's Mandaloon. Mandaloon, Proxy, and Midnight Bourbon with Florent Giroux. It's Mandaloon. And Mandaloon wins the Risen Star Stakes. Proxy was second. Midnight Bourbon third. And then a three-way go for fourth between Senior Buscador with Oh, Baseless and Brighton Just.
John G. Dooley bringing them home in the Risen Star Stakes last weekend at the Fairgrounds. Mandaloon stamping himself as a major player along the road to the Kentucky Derby. He is now the leader in the clubhouse in terms of the number of points earned to get into the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. He sits atop that list right now. He'll have work to do moving forward, but he certainly looked the part of a major Derby contender last weekend. Senor Buscador, who was fifth, I was joined this past Wednesday on Trainer Talk presented by Facic Tipton for the full hour by his trainer, Todd Fincher. And Todd said that at first they were very disappointed in his fifth-place effort. Remember, he was 2-for-2 coming into the race after winning the Springboard Mile at Remington, but he was stepping up in the Fairgrounds competition. And he said, at first we were pretty disappointed. Then they went back and watched the replay. And they watched it several times. And then he said, you know what? That was a sneaky good effort. It was better than it looks. I'll take the blame for maybe not having the screws tightened all the way for his three-year-old debut. And he almost promised me. He pretty much did promise me during that interview on Trainer Talk that this horse will run a big race next time out and that he feels like he is sitting with a legit Kentucky Derby contender. So keep that in mind as you're watching the races unfold moving forward. Didn't give me a spot for Senor Buscador. Didn't say exactly where the horse will show up next. But he thinks that when he does show up, he'll be loaded for bear. So keep that in mind. Just something to think about. You can hear the full one-hour Trainer Talk show on our website at horseracingradio.net. Going to visit with Brad Cox, the trainer of Mandaloon, coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern. Again, awaiting Javier Castellano. He'll be with me in just a few minutes. He's tied up at the moment, but we'll clear his schedule, and we'll be calling him back in about 3 or 4 minutes here, and we'll have him on the phone for a few minutes before we have to segue into the second half of the program. But I got a question for you, HRN Nation. Have you tried Healthnetics yet? No? Well, if you have a few aches and pains, some sleep issues, anxiety, stress, whatever it might be, give Healthnetics Premium Brand CBD a try. It is all natural, THC-free, and made right here in the USA. They offer a 100% money-back guarantee. And when you place your order using promo code HRRN, you're going to get 15% off plus free shipping. So visit healthnetics.com today and use that promo code HRRN. And trust me, you won't be disappointed. It's healthnetics.com. Well, time for your Kentucky Bread update, brought to you by the KTA, KTOB. And there are two words that come to mind when you think about Kentucky racing. Unbridled potential. Over $170 million has been distributed to Kentucky breeders since 2006. And with purse money soaring, exceeding $118 million in 2020, thanks to Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Funds, the fullest fields in the country, and quality racing year-round, there is no better time to race in the Bluegrass State than right now. In addition, the American Graded Stakes Committee's upgraded races for 2021 include the following stakes in Kentucky. You have the Franklin Simpson Stakes at Kentucky Downs that went from a Grade 2 to a Grade 3, as did the Kentucky Turf Cup at Kentucky Downs. The Taurus Mile at Kentucky Downs went to a Grade 3 from a listed stakes. And then gaining listed status are the Kentucky Cup Classic at Turfway, the Dueling Grounds Oaks at Kentucky Downs, and the Kentucky Downs Preview Ladies Turf and Kentucky Downs Preview Taurus Mile, both at Ellis Park. Good stuff. Kentucky Breds, breed them, race them, we all win. For more information, visit KentuckyBreds.org and register KBIF.com. Well, again, second hour of the program kicks off with Brad Cox, followed by Robertino Diodoro. The third hour features In the Room with Sean Clancy, his one-on-one jockey-to-jockey conversation with veteran Mario Pino. Kurt Pecker's stroll through racing history in the last hour of the program, and then Boris Schwartzman, fantastic story there. He'll join me at 10:40 Eastern Time. And sandwiched in between all of that, coming up in the second hour, you have Calling All Three-Year-Olds, presented by Spendthrift, a look at Bobby Newman's top three-year-olds, at least as it stands sitting here on February 20th. And then Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne. This is a segment that is brought to you every other week, and it is one of the true joys that I have on radio on this Equine Forum program, because I get a chance to visit and recognize an individual in our sport that is doing unbelievable work behind the scenes. And maybe, in the case of today's guest, it's somebody you've never he does a job that you didn't even know existed in our sport. So keep that in mind. That comes up, Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne, 9:40 Eastern Time in the second hour of the program. Hall of Famer Javier Castellano is indeed with us. He's a busy man. He is a four-time Eclipse Award winner. He is a Hall of Famer. He was inducted in 2017, and he's won more than 5,300 races. And now he's getting back in the saddle after going through surgery in mid-November. Javier, good morning. I appreciate a few minutes, my friend. I know it's busy.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, good morning. Happy to talk to you, buddy. Hey, listen, I was talking about this earlier. You come off of this year in 2020, which for so many people all over the world was just a horrible year. For you, too, as a rider, you end up being diagnosed with COVID early in the year, so that puts you on the sidelines for a little bit. Then you come back and you have the hip surgery in November, so that ends your season early. Not the kind of year that Javier Castellano was used to. What was 2020 like for you, Javier?
I mean, it's like anybody else. You know, we have a tough year, like you said in the beginning. But, I mean, thank God we're healthy. We're looking forward. I think that's what we put it behind. I think encouraged to look forward in the future. And I think a lot of things coming, the good thing in 2021. I'm working hard for that. And like you say, in the beginning was diagnostic with COVID-19. Thank God, lucky, fortunate, I didn't have any symptom. I was asymptomatic. I think I was put it behind. And the other part, it was the hip, and you know, I have a little repair, and that was not a big deal. It's something I had to do in some point, and might as well took it this year. And everything we put it behind, I think we're looking forward for 2021.
Well, you see what happened with somebody like Tiger Woods, who underwent significant back surgery, made a comeback all the way to the top, winning the Masters, eventually getting back and winning the Masters. Do you see yourself, Javier, is that what's motivating you to drive yourself to get back to that Eclipse Award-winning form?
Absolutely, Mike. This game is very competitive, and you have to be always optimistic and positive. And that's what they're looking for, and I think that's one of the reasons I did that this surgery, because I still, you know, my adrenaline, I like to be competitive, I like to be in the top, I like to be one of the top jockeys in the country, and the only way I can do that, I have to take care of my body and have to do 100% the right thing. If I would do that, definitely the result is going to come out the way I'm looking for. And I think the only way I can do that, I have to take care of my body, do the right thing, make progress, competitive every day to the races to have the best result I can have.
Your first race back was on Wednesday at Gulfstream. How did the hip feel? How did you feel going into the starting gate?
Absolutely, I feel great. I mean, I was so emotional. You know, it's like, you know, like in my third race in my career, I was, you know, looking forward, and I think I was very, very excited to do that.
Javier, I mentioned those statistics and winning more than 5,300 races, all the Eclipse Awards, the champion jockey titles. What is it that still motivates and drives Javier Castellano?
I think I'm born to be jockeys. I love my sport. I think it seemed to me like I live without it, with the whole racing. I think it does keep me motivated every day. Like, I like to be right all the time. I like to be number one. I like to be right, win races. I'm a competitive guy. I love to my sport. When you love something, you got a lot of passion. I think that's what made me motivate every single day, go to the race and ride horses. When you lose that, I think it's time to give up and try to back up and go vacation, retire. You have to be passionate what you do in your life and your career. If you don't have that, I think you lose everything.
When jockeys get injured and they are forced to take time off, a lot of times they get back and they have to work on building up their business again. I can't imagine that it's like that for you because you've been at the top of the game for so long, but do you find yourself now having to work hard to get back on horses and earn the trust of trainers to put you back on horses?
I don't take anything for granted, for sure. Being the top, you know, you always have to work hard because it's a competitive game. It's a lot of jockeys, there are a lot of talent, and the level where we are, it's competitive with the best jockey, or we always hook up with the best jockey in the country. We always have to be competitive. That's the reason I don't take nothing for granted. I always you have to work hard, no matter what. If you're in top or in the bottom, you always have to keep, you know, plugging. You have to keep right horses. You have to be smart. You have to prepare mentally before the races. And you have to do your job to do what you want to do in your life. And that's the only way you can be in the top. And, of course, you know, you have to train hard, especially because I come from 3 months off. But that's part of the game. You know, you have to work hard, get on horses, and try to ride smart and try to watch a race, to analyze the race, who ride it this way, who ride it the other way. I think you have to be in top. You have to be – you do all your homework.
Well – there's nobody better than jockey Javier Castellano. And, Javier, I can tell you on behalf of so many people in our sport, it was great to see you back out there on Wednesday, and look forward to bigger and better things up the road here in 2021. So keep it rolling, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much, guys. All the best.
All right. Hall of Famer Javier Castellano. Yeah, so good to see him. And there you go. Well, a great family guy and one of the true good guys in the sport of thoroughbred racing today. No doubt about it, and I can imagine, as you heard him say, he was emotional, he was nervous, he probably had some butterflies going into the starting gate on Wednesday, but great to see him back in action. All right, busy second hour of the program. Hour two comes up next, right after I pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Hi, This is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, with this week's HRN Racing Update. With racing canceled at both Oaklawn Park and Turfway Park this weekend, all is quiet on the road to the Kentucky Derby, for what figures to be the final time in the near future, as points races are set to be run each of the following 7 weekends. Your leader in the clubhouse is the Brad Cox trained Mandaloon, who earned 50 of his 52 points with his win in last Saturday's Risen Star at the Fairgrounds. Cox is set to send out 2-year-old Champ Essential Quality in the twice-rescheduled Southwest next Saturday, February 27th, at Oaklawn. This past Wednesday, Keeneland announced plans to allow a limited number of fans to attend its upcoming spring meet, which runs from April 2nd through the 23rd. They'll announce purchasing and pricing details for a limited number of pre-sold ticket packages that include dining, grandstand reserve seating, and general admission on Monday, May 1st. That's your HRRN Racing Update. Now let's send it back to host Mike Penna for Hour 2 of the Equine Forum.
Welcome back. Hour 2 of the Equine Forum. Hour 2 of 3 this morning. You missed that news. This show expanded to 3 hours a few weeks ago, and the response has been fantastic. Thank you so much, HRN Nation. Happy to be with you until 11 a.m. Eastern this morning. Poll question that I threw out at the top of the show. The poll question for today is presented by OwnerView and the Thoroughbred Owner Conference. If you were given the opportunity to own 3 horses, past or present, which would you choose? And I told you 2 of mine. Holy Bull, number 1. Excellent Meeting, a filly trained by Bob Baffert years ago, number 2. And I'd have to think about a third. There have been several that have really captured my heart. I kind of like Concern. I was a big Concern fan, too. I liked him. Maryland Bred. I don't know. I'd have to think about the third one. But certainly Holy Bull and Excellent Meeting at the top of the list. Second hour of the show kicks off with trainer Brad Cox, who is the reigning champion trainer in our sport today. He has certainly not disappointed in 2021. I told you he is on pace to win 220-plus races this year, already on that pace, and it would be the 5th consecutive year that Brad has topped the 200 win mark, and here he is coming off of that big win in the Risen Star with Mandaloon last weekend, and on Saturday, well, later today, he will send out Nick's Go in the Saudi Cup. Brad, appreciate the visit, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and I said Saturday. We are recording this interview, full disclosure, here on Thursday, so I want to make sure we let everybody know that. But first of all, where are you? What part of the world is Brad Cox in right now?
I'm at the Fairgrounds in New Orleans. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make the trip. With all the delays and cancellations with racing here in America, I just kind of thought it may probably be in the best interest to stay closer to home and kind of figure out what's going on between Oakland and the Fairgrounds with the cancellations and trying to get a Central Florida Illinois back to the races. So, we got a good staff in place in Dubai, and excited about the races later today.
Yeah, all right. Let's talk about what you're going through with Essential Quality, and of course Monomoy Girl, who was scheduled to get back to racing at Oaklawn as well. This is crazy, Brad. Canceled not just once but twice now. So what does that do? I guess more so for Essential Quality, because you're pointing for a specific race on the first Saturday in May. What do you do to make adjustments here? How's this all coming together for you?
You know, right now it really doesn't affect I don't feel like it's affecting our schedule much at all. If we can get the race in next weekend, I feel like we'll be on track for, you know, another race, and then hopefully our third race on our layoff would be the Kentucky Derby. But that's kind of what we're looking at right now. So I don't really feel like it's affected him at all. And like I said, hopefully we can get the race in next weekend.
Yeah, what about your preparation? You get a horse ready to peak for a certain date, and now you've had to do it thinking it was going to be this weekend. You had to get him ready, and now you got to get him ready to peak next weekend, too. Does that affect your preparation at all?
You know, not really. My intent this past weekend, last Sunday, was to, give him somewhat of an easier breeze, and then maybe a little bit more this weekend. Do with him, but overall, I feel like he's pretty good fitness wise. you know, we'll hopefully be able to ship him up, you know, three days before the race, you know, in preparation for the Southwest. Now it's going to be run on Saturday. So we're hopeful to get up there so Tuesday, Wednesday, and start the process of finding out. You know, get a few gallops over the track and then schooling a few times at the gate. So, you know, all that stuff's important, but I feel like his fitness level's right where it needs to be for you know, a good performance off the layoff.
You talk about his breezes. Are you breezing a horse right now? I can hear the wind whipping through your phone.
Yeah. We're going to be breezing horses throughout the morning. We breezed a few early, and, you know, we have a few left to go.
Yeah, it sounds pretty windy at the fairgrounds. You know, you've had to dodge a few bullets there, too, in terms of the weather and the track conditions and everything. Has that affected things in New Orleans for you?
No, you know, not a whole lot. We've just missed one day of training. And, you know, credit to the fairgrounds and Oakland for keeping everybody. You know, they're not just throwing this on us. Like, we missed training Tuesday morning at the fairgrounds, which we raced, and it was good. You know, it would give them an opportunity to get the track ready for racing that afternoon, Mardi Gras day. And, you know, both racetracks have been up front and been able to, you know, like, obviously, Oakland canceling so far out is actually, you know, very, very helpful.
Spend a minute looking back. We'll stick with the three-year-olds for a minute. Mandaloon last weekend, impressive in the Grade 3 Risen Star, looked every bit the part of a major Derby contender. Share your thoughts on that performance.
I thought he ran huge. I mean, he got the same trip that he had in the LeCompte. You know, the only thing different really was the blinkers and maybe a little more, obviously another 16th of a mile. But he's a nice colt. We fought a lot of him from, you know, from last summer and last fall. He started showing that he could be a really good horse. And, you know, it's really rewarding when, you know, you see it in him and then they're able to show up and do it in the afternoon. And, you know, he's a colt that, you know, has obviously got enough points. It appears to be in the Derby. And, you know, I'm not going to say on cruise control now, but, you know, we can pick out one spot between now and the first Saturday in May, hopefully make a good account of himself. And, you know, he'll be ready and on top of his game, hopefully Derby day.
Yeah, that's a big advantage, knowing that you're likely in the field now. You can pick and choose your spot that you want to go next. What do you think, Louisiana Derby, or do you try to get something a little closer to the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I think as of right now, we'll look at the Louisiana Derby. It's obviously probably – it comes up first. It's back in 5 weeks. So it probably makes the most sense. But like you said, there is – you know, we could also look at the Bluegrass as well. So, you know, we'll just kind of see how he trains over the next couple weeks and make a decision here at O'Rourke from Judmont. And he, like I said, he's a nice colt. And you know, I don't think it would be a bad thing him having a good bit of time between the Louisiana Derby and the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, we'll just kind of see how it plays out over the next few weeks.
How about on the filly side of things? Tell me about the three-year-old fillies and what you might be looking at there.
As far as the three-year-old fillies go, you know, we've got some good ones between Travel Column was second in the race. She ran a good race off of freshening. You know, she'll come back in either the New Orleans, the Fairgrounds Oaks or the Ashland. We have Sun Pass. It's a good filly that was fourth, disappointing fourth in the Silver Bullet Day. Came out of the race in great shape. Has had a couple works since, and we're going to point her for possibly the Honeybee or the Fairgrounds Oaks. And we also have Coach up at Oakland. She's being pointed for the Honeybee as well. So and I think we got a good group of three-year-old fillies.
Talking with reigning champion trainer Brad Cox here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I know you got a lot of work to do, Brad, but I'll ask you about two more horses, Monomoy Girl and Nix Go, of course, going in the Saudi Cup later today. Tell me about those two horses now and what you're expecting from them.
I just couldn't – I mean, really, with Nix Go, I mean, he's trained so well. I mean, he's just been so consistent all fall and throughout the winter and has given us enough confidence to try this Saudi Cup. Obviously, you know, we're it's a one-turn mile in an eighth. I don't think it's going to bother him at all. I mean, we have one of the best jocks in the world on him in Joel, and he obviously has experience on the horse, having rode him his last three. He has confidence in the horse. So I think we're in a very, very good spot. And I couldn't ask the horse to be doing any better. He had a great work over there on Monday. He bounced out of it in good order. So he's on track to run a big effort, I do believe. As far as Monomoy Girl, you know, kind of more of the same with her as far as just being very, very consistent, actually, you know, throughout her racing career, and just excited to get her started back. You know, this is our prep for the Apple Blossom. And, you know, once again, with the loss of time really doesn't affect, I feel like it is affecting our schedule much with her at all. So we're excited to get her started back next weekend. Her race will be on Sunday of next weekend.
Brad, a lot of things to keep track of, a lot of irons in the fire, but that's a good thing when you're training racehorses and you're training them at this level, my friend. Keep up the great work. All the best with the entire stable. And, again, can't thank you enough for a few minutes here this morning.
Thanks, Mike. Talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
All right, Brad Cox here on HRRN. That interview, like all of our interviews, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion by going to EmbraceTheRace.com. Interesting that he really isn't concerned with essential quality and the postponement of that Southwest Stakes, now pushed back 2 weeks from where it was originally scheduled to be run. Said it doesn't affect him. And I said that last week. I said that last week on this show when I was talking about the trainers that are going to have to make adjustments that were pointing for the Southwest. In just a little bit, I'm going to be visiting with Robertino Diodoro. He has me in mind, the Kentucky Jockey Club winner from last year, who is also pointing for the Southwest and has been. But he had a little different scenario. Robertino had, keep me in mind, cross-entered into the Risen Star last weekend. Could have run there, gotten that first prep out of the way, but decided to wait for the Southwest, which he thought would be run today. It ain't. It'll be run next week. So a little different scenario for Robertino. But I said on this show last week that if you're going to have a straw in your path, if you're going to have an adjustment to your schedule, make it early February, mid-February. Don't let the switcheroo happen in mid-April, right? Early April, when you're looking at your final prep, maybe the most critical prep race for the Kentucky Derby. And it sounds like Brad Cox agrees with that statement that, okay, right now we're okay. We have plenty of other options. He does with Mandaloon, too. That was interesting, too. Mandaloon, now with 53 points, he sits atop the Derby list. And after winning the Risen Star, it pretty much puts him in. 53 points should get you in. You're going to get in with 53 points. Takes the pressure off. So now they have some flexibility. Let's say they point for the Louisiana Derby, and let's say something happens, and he misses, he gets a cough, he misses a work. Well, now maybe you don't make the Louisiana Derby, but because you don't have to force it, you don't have to get points to get into the starting gate, he can be patient. He can wait for a race like, say, the Bluegrass here at Keeneland. He can wait for the Florida Derby if he wants to go that direction. He'll have options, which is massive for Mandaloon. And again, essential quality, still going to have a little bit of work to do to find himself in that Kentucky Derby field. So he doesn't have quite as many options right now. But if you're going to have something happen, then you want to make sure it happens early like it is right now. Essential quality, currently second in the point standings with 30 points. Probably enough to make the 20-horse field, but you don't want to leave it to probably. You want to make sure he gets some more points. So they'll have some options here, but certainly with Mandaloon, he's sitting in good shape. All right, going to get to another break. When I come back, it is time for this week's edition of Calling All Three-Year-Olds, presented by Spendthrift, and my visit with trainer Robertino Diodoro. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Broken Vow, a top 15 lifetime active sire with over 170 black type horses, 90 black type winners, and approaching $80 million in progeny earnings. In 2020, Broken Vow produced Saratoga Springs winner Stan the Man and the Speedy M. Primus, winner of the $700,000 turf sprint. Juvenile stakes horses include the Grass is Blue and Chasing Kara. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Adina Springs bred and raced the best son of Hall of Famer Ghost Sapper. Champion, multiple Grade 1 winner, and fellow Hall of Famer Shaman Ghost, who became the first horse in three decades to reel off this historic Grade 1 double.
And it's going to be won by Shaman Ghost! He has won the Woodward!
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Seeing is believing with Shaman Ghost. Learn more at AdinaStallions.com.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Keep Me in Mind is still the last of them all. Coming for the top of the stretch, King Fury's in front at the quarter pole. Smiley Sabatka cut the corner smartly. Swill's been switched outside for a try. Keep Me in Mind is finding stride now. Here comes Keep Me in Mind down the center of the track. And Arabian Prince finds his seam and comes on through too. Smiley Sabatka still the one to catch. Keep Me in Mind continues to close. Arabian Prince is up into third. Smiley Sabatka and Keep Me in Mind. Keep Me in Mind up to win it. A last-to-first winner over Smiley Sabatka, Arabian Prince, and it was tight among Sittin' on Go, Swill, and King Fury.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. That was Travis Stone with the call of the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill Downs last fall. Keep Me in Mind getting the victory. He is currently fifth on the road to the Kentucky Derby points list. He has 18 points, so he does have work to do if he's going to get into that Derby field. And look, it is still so, so early. We're talking about, it's like talking about preseason rankings in college basketball, right, or football. I mean, you can't, until these teams start playing some games, you really don't know who's going to, I mean, just look at UK this year, right? Everybody had them ranked in the top five, if not in the top three. And things have fallen apart for UK here in 2021. But I kind of look at this as the same thing. Yes, you have horses like Rombauer, who sits in sixth, 14 points, ran very well in winning the El Camino Real last weekend. You have Spielberg at 13. Jackie's Warrior, we'll see Jackie's Warrior pointing for the Southwest in that showdown with Essential Quality next weekend. Sitting there at 12th, Capo Kane has been really impressive, but has 12 points. Do we really know how good these horses are? Yeah, we got a glimpse at two, but in horse racing, you have to transition that two-year-old form and continue your progression into your three-year-old season. So we'll find out when these horses get racing, but trying to sit here and go through and say, oh, this horse has 12 points, 13, 18, 12, it's really meaningless. Other than the fact that they have some points to their credit, which helps them when they start running in these bigger races up the road. But, you know, again, it's kind of like preseason rankings and some of these, college sports. I just don't buy into a lot of those either. But at least this is something that's in black and white, and they have numbers next to their name, and that's what it is right now. And Keep Me in Mind sits in fifth with 18 points. Almost time for your Calling All three-year-old segment presented by Spendthrift. Before I get to that, though, I want to remind you that many of you know that I recently started telling you about the brand-new Outdoors Superstore, the Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore in Nicholasville, Kentucky. And I have spent my entire life pursuing two passions, horse racing and the outdoors. And when I'm not at the racetrack or on the radio, for that matter, it's a pretty solid bet that I'm out in the woods somewhere. So trust me when I tell you, if you love to hunt or fish, you need to check out Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore. Again, in Nicholasville, Kentucky, just 3 miles south of the Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road, the store is owned by former horse trainer Tevis McCauley. And the Elite Outdoor Superstore has everything you need, from hunting deer, turkey, ducks, and so much more. They even have two indoor indoor archery ranges. I can say that. Indoor archery ranges. They have two of them. So you want to stop in and see them today. It's the Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore in Nicholasville, Kentucky. And time now for this week's edition of Calling All Three-Year-Olds.
They're all in line. And they're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All Three-Year-Olds with Bobby Newman.
Two stakes for the three-year-olds highlighted the Road to the Roses last weekend. Let's start in New Orleans, where Fairgrounds hosted the Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes. It was the first race of the year worth 50 Kentucky Derby qualifying points to the winner, which means the victor would virtually be guaranteed a spot in the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. A big field of 11 lined up for the mile and an eighth test, including Midnight Bourbon, Proxy, and Mandaloon, the 1-2-3 finishers from the LeCompte Stakes 4 weeks earlier, and new shooter on the scene, Senor Buscador, who was last seen impressively winning Remington Park Springboard Mile. Mandaloon disappointed as the heavy favorite in the LeCompte, but bettors forgave that defeat and made him the 2-1 choice to rebound. He broke alertly, got into a good striking position from his outer post, and forged to the lead at the top of the stretch on his way to winning by just over a length and turning the tables on rivals Proxy and Midnight Bourbon, who checked in second and third. Final time was 1:50-1. Senor Buscador was far back early and rallied late to be fifth, but never really threatened for the win. Look for the top three to possibly face off once again on March 20th in the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby. The El Camino Real Derby is Golden Gate's major stake for three-year-olds, and SoCal Invaders Rombauer, Giovannica, and Petruccio were the favorites. Rombauer was bet down to 6-5 off his fifth-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last November, and he rewarded his backers with an eye-catching last-to-first move to win by a neck, nailing Giovannica in the final strides. He covered the 9 furlongs in 1:51-3 and earned 10 Derby points with the win. Speaking of Derby points, Mandaloon now tops the list with 52. He's followed by Essential Quality, Midnight Bourbon, Proxy, Keep Me In Mind, Rombauer, Medina Spirit, Spielberg, Jackie's Warrior, and Capo Kane. The only Derby qualifying race this weekend is the Hyacinth Stakes in Tokyo, worth 30 points to the winner. Turfway Park hosts the John Battaglia Memorial next Friday night, and those entries will be taken today. Then we'll have the Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn and Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream next weekend. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
Dino Rosso, the most accomplished racehorse by leading sire Curlin, an undefeated two-year-old and major Kentucky Derby prep race winner as a three-year-old, multiple Grade 1 winner Dino Rosso won the Eclipse Award for Older Dirt Male at 4 after a dominant victory in the 2019 Breeders' Cup Classic, just like his sire Curlin a dozen years prior.
And it's a vintage performance by Dino Rosso!
His negative 6 1/4 thoroughbred number marks the fastest in the history of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Champion Dino Rosso, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders consists of 3 Brad Cox trainees, 2 Bob Baffert trainees, and 2 sons of Into Mischief. Number 1, Essential Quality, undefeated the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Champ. He'll be running next weekend in the Grade 3 Southwest at Oaklawn. Number 2, Life is Good, son of Into Mischief, also undefeated. Look for him March 6th at Santa Anita in the San Felipe. Numbers 3 and 4, Caddo River and Concert Tour. They both could be heading to the Grade 2 Rebel at Oaklawn on March 13th. And number 5 is Mandaloon, another son of Into Mischief, won the Risen Star last weekend. We'll look for him March 20th in the Louisiana Derby. That's your Calling All Three-Year-Olds segment presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Oh, well, there you have it, your top five. And again, thanks to Spendthrift for their sponsorship of that segment each and every week here on the Equine Forum leading up to the Run for the Roses. In case you're wondering, we are edging ever closer to the first Saturday in May. Didn't give you a countdown at the top of the show. 72 days. Now, let's say, check that. It is now 70 days away from the 70 days. Are you kidding me? 70 days away from the Run for the Roses. 4 hours, 20 minutes, and 46 seconds. Hard to believe. It'll be here before we know it, and nobody knows that better than trainer Robertino Diodoro, who is set to join us here momentarily here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll talk to him about Keep Me In Mind, and we'll talk to him about some of the changes that he has had to make or adjustments that he'll have to make. Maybe he'll have to make those changes based on the postponements of the Southwest Stakes, where Keep Me In Mind is expected to go next. Think about that. Keep Me in Mind, Jackie's Warrior, Essential Quality. That's a Derby preview right there. At least that's what Robertino's hoping for. And he's with me now here on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Robertino, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Appreciate the visit. I know it's a busy time for you. Keep Me in Mind, Cross entered last week into the Risen Star and the Southwest. Of course, the Southwest, as we know, is postponed. You opted to stick to your guns and stay with the Southwest Stakes. Now it's postponed again. What goes through your mind when you heard about the second postponement?
I think they made the right call, to be honest, Mike. This with the situation here in Hot Springs right now. Of course, disappointing, but I think it's the best thing for the racetrack and for the horses. You know, we've been able to jog a lot in the barns, but that's about it. And I think they made the right call, to be honest.
Still satisfied with the decision to skip the Risen Star and stay with the Southwest?
Yeah. Had second thoughts for about 2 minutes, but to be honest, no. I'm glad we stuck to it. It's one thing I wanted to do was run him out of his own stall his first start, back for his three-year-old year. And, no, we're just a little bit delayed, but we're not going to panic. And, no, I still feel confident we made the right choice.
What challenges does it present, Robertino, when a race like this, a three-year-old debut race, gets rescheduled and pushed back a couple of weeks? Does it affect anything moving forward?
Well, you know, we are concerned about some of the training that we've had to miss, but I think in the near future here for next weekend, for us to run, you know, we're going to have to be able to start training here Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon even, and, you know, ideally get a breeze into them on Monday or Tuesday. If that can't happen, I think we're going to end up skipping next weekend and just waiting for the Rebel. But with the forecast and, you know, we got the sun out here this morning. There's still a lot of snow to be melted and a lot of unthawing. But I think, like I said, if we can get back to the track training on Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon and get a breeze in Monday or Tuesday, we'll be ready for next weekend. But again, can't control Mother Nature. And if we aren't able to do that, again, I'm thinking that we're going to end up skipping it and waiting for the Rebel.
How much thought have you given to moving your operation to Gulfstream next year?
I love Hot Springs, but to be honest, it was on my mind this year, actually. To set up a small string in Gulfstream, and I think even more so what's gone on this winter. Again, it's can't control Mother Nature, but with these better horses, it gets very frustrating when you're you know, you're planning for races, and then you know, stuff like this happens. It is frustrating.
Yeah, I say that tongue in cheek and jokingly, of course, but I guess it would give a trainer more options, you know, if things didn't work out weather-wise, as we're seeing this year in Hot Springs and even other parts of the country. If you have Derby horses that, say you had a Derby horse in Texas now, right? And you were hoping to run in races in Texas and then move on to a bigger circuit or whatever it might be. Certainly Oaklawn is in the spotlight for all of this, but at least Robertino, it gives a trainer a couple more options if you do have a small string in a warm weather climate.
No, definitely. Nope, for sure. And like I said, there was a lot of thought put into it this year to try to have a small string in Florida, and I'm definitely thinking that for next fall, to be honest.
So if he does have to wait, if you don't make the Southwest and he has to wait for the Rebel, worst thing in the world, or is that still something that he can overcome if you're going to keep those Derby dreams alive?
No, I think it's something he can overcome. I mean, he loves to train, and he puts a lot into it. I think that means a lot with horses coming off layoffs and, you know, spacing races apart as well. I think that means a lot and helps a lot getting a horse prepared. Like I said, he loves to train, and when he goes out there, it's all business. He puts a lot into it.
Yeah, and he's never run a bad race. Second in his debut, second in the Breeders' Futurity, third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and then that big win in the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill last fall. When you look back on his two-year-old campaign, what did he show you that makes you believe that he belongs with the top Derby contenders?
Well, one, I always say good horses like to train. I think a little more than the average horse, and he's shown us that right from day one. And I mean, even more so lately, as he's matured, he just loves his job. And another thing, I think he'll run all day. He's a horse that knows how to relax the first part of it, and moving forward to be a Derby horse and stuff. But definitely, the distance is not going to be an issue.
Is there any advantage to having already won over that surface at Churchill?
I think it does. I mean, every track's different, and sometimes you ship somewhere, and you we've done that before, just on a smaller scale, going to Zia Park, or even shipping over to Remington before. You get there, and all of a sudden, your horse, you think you got the best horse in the race, or a legit shot to win, and all of a sudden he doesn't like the surface, so. He's trained very well at Churchill and ran very well. We thought he was training really good at Keeneland when we had him there before the Breeders' Cup. And I know when we got back to Churchill with him, which was the first time, because he went from Ellis to Keeneland, it was the first time he'd been to Churchill. He wasn't even there 3-4 days. And our gallop boy, and then after Cohen worked him the first time at Churchill, said, "Wow, this ain't even the same horse. He just loves this surface." So we thought he liked it at Keeneland, but he liked it even more at Churchill. So if we're lucky enough and we can keep this horse healthy and happy, I think, and we can be in Churchill May 1st, I think that's one thing that we got on our side, that he likes the surface there already.
Yeah, talking with trainer Robertino Diodoro, the trainer of Keep Me In Mind, the Kentucky Jockey Club winner from last year. He is hoping to run in the Southwest next weekend at Oaklawn, and if not, the Rebel Stakes, and then take his chances from there getting to the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. Robertino, you do have points to your credit. I was talking to Brad Cox in the previous segment, and he said the pressure is off with Mandaloon now that he won the Risen Star last weekend. He has 52 points. He's atop the list. He knows he's almost guaranteed a spot in the starting gate. Keep Me In Mind is kind of on that bubble right now with 18 points, so he has to get a few more, but you have to be feeling confident that, okay, at least we got some points in the bank right now.
No, that definitely does help, Mike. It doesn't take all the pressure off. We're not quite as pretty as Brad is, but having 18 points definitely does take some pressure off, but we definitely need and want to get a few more for sure.
I'm going to ask you to elaborate on a word that you used earlier, Robertino. You used the word maturity when you talked about him going from his two-year-old campaign and now seeing what he's like as a three-year-old. What does that mean when a trainer says he's matured? Is it mental? Is it physical? Is it both? What are you looking for?
With this horse, it's mental. He was a big, matured-looking two-year-old, I thought. Mentally, he's matured. And just a couple examples. We had a couple issues of him going up to the racetrack. Again, just being immature and goofing off, especially at Keeneland before the Breeders' Cup. Now it's just all business. We lead him up to the track, and he knows what's going on. I mean, he's just matured mentally. Physically, he hasn't changed a whole bunch, but mentally, even his training, he's always liked to train, but he's much more aggressive now. Mentally, he's showing us a lot of maturing.
Well, if he can get there on May 1st, it would be your first Kentucky Derby starter. How much do you let yourself think that far ahead and think about what that moment might be like?
Try not to be honest, Mike. Of course, it's always been a goal of mine, but we try not to. I mean, these horses, I keep using the phrase, keep this horse happy and healthy. I really think he's got the ability to be a Kentucky Derby contender. But, you know, you just take one day at a time. And, again, our job is to keep this horse healthy and happy from now till May 1st.
Well, all the best in that quest, and let's hope he gets back on track in the Southwest. Let's hope we have a Southwest Stakes next weekend. I think the forecast is looking a little bit better. We should be back in action, right?
Yeah, no, it's I look at my weather app here every 10 minutes, literally. and at least we got some sun out here today in Hot Springs, but it's got a ways to go. I really cannot believe how much snow there's piled up here. It's kind of crazy, but hopefully it'll be all gone in a few days.
Yeah, almost like living in Canada, isn't it?
Oh, it's crazy. Yep. Yep, definitely.
Well, Robertino, listen, I appreciate the visit here this morning. I know you've got a lot on your plate. All the best would keep me in mind, and let's hope we're talking again as we get closer to the first Saturday in May.
No, I appreciate it, Mike, anytime.
All right, Robertino Diodoro here on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Yeah, look, he has to be excited about the opportunity that's in front of him. He has a horse, as you heard, he's mature. The distances won't be a problem. He loves to train. Now he just has to get a break in the weather and get this horse started with his three-year-old campaign, and who knows where he ends up. He certainly has the look of a horse that can have a major impact when they come beneath the Twin Spires that second time on the first Saturday in May. We'll see if Robertino can get him there and get him there in good shape. That interview brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. When I come back, it's time for this week's edition of Unsung Heroes. You won't want to miss it. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Justify, a four-time Grade 1 winner, Eclipse Champion 3-year-old, Horse of the Year, and the only undefeated Triple Crown winner. By Sire of Sires, Scat Daddy, Justify's first foals sold for up to $600,000 at the recent November sales, while his in-foal mares were led by the three-time Grade 1 winning daughter of Uncle Mo, Bast, who sold for $4.2 million to Spendthrift Farm. Justify has covered over 80 Grade 1 winners or dams of Grade 1 winners in his first 2 years at Ashford. Call the team at Ashford today to book your mare while there are still seasons available.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020. And his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince's value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
Oscar Performance, the pinnacle of success as a precocious juvenile and again at three.
Oscar Performance, bravo! He wins the juvenile turf.
Oscar Performance has won the Secretary of State's.
Oscar Performance goes all the way in the Belmont Derby Invitational.
And the pinnacle of success at four, equaling the world record for a mile in the Grade 3 poker and dominating the competition in the Grade 1 Woodbine Mile.
But it's Oscar Performance shrugs them off. A gate-to-wire winner.
Oscar Performance, standing at Millridge.
This is Elliot Walden. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion!
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to 8, 3, 2, 1. And for the 8th time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players. Content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
Well, there are so many unsung heroes in our sport, and I do have the privilege of welcoming in another unsung hero. That is Kevin Moran, who has been working at Keeneland the past several years, and without Kevin, I can tell you that things would not go as smoothly at Keeneland as they do on a day-in, day-out basis. Kevin, first of all, thanks for taking the time, my friend. I know you're not big on talking about yourself, but I'm going to make you do it for about 10 minutes. Congratulations on being this week's unsung hero, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you having me on here and thinking so much of me to have me on here to do this.
You know, I was thinking back as I was getting ready for this interview, and I had read a story a few years ago that was on the Keeneland website, and it talked about your first day on the job. When did you start at Keeneland, and what do you remember about that first day? Because there almost wasn't a second day, right?
Yes. My first day was, it was October of 1989. I just moved back here from California. And it was a cool day that day, and I was really not used to that since being in California for 8 years. And I was in the, which actually the Bronson Brew area now, but it wasn't closed in. And I kind of had a light jacket on because I thought I was going to be inside, and that wind was coming through there. And the whole time I'm freezing thinking, why am I doing this?
Yeah, and then you think about it and you say, okay, what am I doing? Am I going to stay here at Keeneland, or am I going to go find a warmer office job, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, your official title is Office Support and Courier Manager. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Okay, what does that mean, and what does your job entail?
Basically, I tell everybody, I just take care of everybody. I make everybody smile.
How do you go about doing that? That's no easy task.
Been here long enough that most people, I can read their minds and know what they already need before they know what they need. So it's right there waiting for them.
So why have you decided to stay at Keeneland as long as you have? That's one heck of a stretch, my friend.
I enjoy it. Over 28 years, I'm still learning stuff. So I really appreciate that. And, you know, I enjoy the people that I see and deal with and learning new stuff from everybody.
Yeah, you know, when you walk around Keeneland, at some point you're going to see Kevin walking by. There's no doubt about it, because he is everywhere and he does do everything. And as you heard him say, he just likes to make people smile. Well, one way to do that is by making their job easier. And Kevin, you do everything from going and picking up the mail every day and taking the mail to the post office to helping out with the jockeys, and there's a whole host of things that you do. So what does the day in, day out job description look like for Kevin Moran?
Well, you know, most days, if we're not racing or selling, it's, you know, go get the mail, go through the mail, make sure it gets to the right departments, and then delivering it to those departments, waiting for boxes to come in that, you know, that people have ordered, which, you know, between UPS and FedEx, you know, it could be 2 boxes a day or it could be 30.
And yeah, it's endless.
Between those days, it's, you know, like right now, kind of setting my mind up what we're going to do for the race meet and getting prepared for that.
What do you do in terms of working with the jockeys? I know that's something that you really enjoy doing.
Well, my job is to kind of, I kind of help them out between Kingland and themselves, just to kind of make it easier. So if they need something, I know who to call, so I can call that person instead of them calling and that person going, "Who is this? Why do you need this?" So I can make it a little bit easier on everybody around. We need ice because we're all out of ice up here, and they need it for the box, or you know, lights are out, or the steam room shut down. It could be any amount of things.
You know, I went back and read through that article again that I was telling you about, where it talked about your first day on the job, and Vince Gabbert, who is the chief operating officer, the vice president of Keeneland, had a quote in there that I thought was just spot on. He said, "The one person that is absolutely irreplaceable on our entire staff is Kevin Moran. He does countless things that no one even knows about, let alone have the expertise and the willingness to do. And if he decided to quit tomorrow, we would have to hire five people to replace him." What does it mean to have Vince say those things about you?
Well, I appreciate that, and it's like you said, I like being behind the scenes and just doing what needs to be done and letting everybody else take the credit, because I think that shows more of who you are and what you do when other people think well of you and you're behind the scenes. So I really appreciate what he said, and it, you know, it kind of made my day. I kind of blushed about it, but you know, I appreciate it.
Yeah, they're very powerful words, and as I said, spot on and very, very true. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah.
Take me back to the beginning a little bit, Kevin, when you first were thinking about getting a job at Keeneland. Did you have any interest or know anything about horse racing at all, or did your family have any interest in horse racing? Tell me more about that.
Well, we had just moved back here from California. My uncle worked here in maintenance department, and at the time it was just, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go to college or what, so he said, "We're always hiring, come on up here." And I applied, and you know, I got the job, and I knew what a horse was. That was basically it. I knew nothing about horses other than what a horse looked like. And which,
had you ever been to Keeneland before?
No, never.
Wow, amazing. It's a career that has spanned since 98. That's incredible.
Yeah, and, you know, I lived in San Diego and had never been to Del Mar. You know, I'd seen the, you know, Kentucky Derby on TV, but really knew nothing. And I appreciate, like, a lot of the people that I've worked with over the years, because, you know, sometimes when you work someplace and you ask questions about something, people kind of are standoff because they kind of, why are you asking this question? What are you trying to change, or something like that? But I've had people that, when I've asked questions, they've actually made me understand it even more.
Well, you've become a fan of horse racing now, haven't you?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Yeah, what have you enjoyed most about learning about the sport?
What goes through making a horse race? You know, between the trainer getting the horses ready, the racing office setting up the races, you know, you never really think about that when you're on the outside because you don't see it. But over the years, seeing that stuff has just amazed me on what they do. You know, because like, over the years, I deal with more of the assistant trainers for all these big trainers. And to, like Steve Asmussen, for him to know his horses, where they're at, how they're doing, and all that is just amazing to me, how he can do that. And, you know, he's got these great assistant trainers that are really taking care of the horses. But when he comes there, he still knows what's going on, how they're doing. He can look at a horse and see something's wrong or it's going good. And I think that's just amazing to be able to do that.
Yeah, the trainers, the jockeys, too, the way they remember all of the different horses that they've ridden and every detail of every race. It's incredible.
Exactly, because I could watch a race today, and then next week you ask me about the horse, and I'm like, okay, I remember that horse, but I don't remember everything about it. And, you know, over the years, especially dealing with a lot of these jockeys and getting to know them, you know, they know their first win, their 500th win, you know, the last time they rode that horse, how it ran, and it just amazes me because the average jockey probably rides about 500 horses a year, and just to remember that horse, and it may have been 5 years ago, but still remember what it did, how it broke, and all that is just amazing to me how they do that.
Yeah, it's incredible. There are so many incredible aspects of this sport and so many unsung heroes like my special guest here now, Kevin Moran, who is the office support and courier manager at Keeneland. As you heard him talk about earlier, he does a little bit of everything all behind the scenes, and he prefers to remain behind the scenes, but I wasn't going to let him do that here this morning because this segment is all about recognizing those individuals that without them, we don't have a sport, and Kevin certainly fits that bill. Kevin, before I let you go, I'll ask you one final question. What has been your favorite part of what you do at Keeneland, of what this job entails? What's been your favorite part since you started in 1998?
To learn about this sport and what makes it so great. You know, because watching the Derby and the Oaks every year, you see all the people there, and you know, and most of those people are just there for those 2 days. But to see what leads up to getting a horse to the Derby, and that just amazes me, and I appreciate that so much, and have been able to learn about it.
It's a special thing, and Kevin is a special person and does an awful lot behind the scenes at Keeneland. Kevin, listen, I appreciate you taking a little time. I know it wasn't the most comfortable thing for you to do because you're a very humble person, but appreciate it. You're very deserving of being an unsung hero, and this segment presented by Claiborne every week, and really appreciate it, my friend.
It's my pleasure, and I thank you for thinking I do a great job, and I'm an unsung hero to want to talk to me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, keep up the great work, buddy.
Thank you, and you keep up the great work that you've been doing there with keeping everybody in the know of horse racing. I appreciate it so much.
All right, thanks, bud. Kevin Moran, this week's unsung hero presented by Claiborne, and it is truly a privilege to be able to bring you those types of stories, visit with those individuals. Our sport is filled with unsung heroes like Kevin, and if you know someone that you feel should be recognized as an unsung hero in our sport, nominate them today by emailing their story directly to me, mike@horseracingradio.net, and I will do my best to recognize them during these unsung hero segments in the weeks and the months ahead. I'm back to tell you what's coming up in Hour 3 right after this word from Claiborne.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired 4 millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include Plum Ali, winner of the $500,000 Mint Juvenile Filly Stakes. Sharp Samurai, a graded stakes winner and runner-up in the Grade 1 Pacific Classic. International graded stakes winners Birdie Queen and Shabal Nibras. Plus these standout performers. In the ring, his yearlings sold up to $260,000. First Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.
All right, Hour 3 kicks off with In the Room with Sean Clancy, his visit with jockey Mario Pino. We'll take a stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. And great story with Boris Schwartzman toward the end of the program. That's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
Thoroughbred Charities of America raises and distributes funding to approved nonprofits that help thoroughbreds and the people who care for them. TCA's annual grants support aftercare and incentive programs, health and human service initiatives for backstretch and farm workers, and equine-assisted therapy programs that utilize thoroughbreds. TCA is one, helping many. Please support TCA today at tca.org.
There's a corner of Kentucky in Bourbon County, which some refer to as the Promised Land. There's something in the soil and water that make it something special. So special that some of the world's greatest horsemen have staked their claim in the soil just outside of Paris. Iconic names such as Claiborne, Coolmore, Stone, and Darley grace the fence lines which have housed champions for generations. The name Alapa shines as a tribute to the Gilded Age, sharing the stature and grandeur of its neighbors. Born from the wealth, passion, and imagination of Edward Sims, no expense was spared to fulfill his vision. Sims was in the same league as John Madden and Arthur B. Hancock Sr. as a commercial breeder. The torch has been passed. Welcome to Hill and Dale. At Alapa.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires, comes your way every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Bobby Newman joins me to bring you all of the fall and winter action from places like Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Del Mar, and Churchill, as well as interviews with the biggest players in thoroughbred racing. That's Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live at horseracingradio.net.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hey, HRN Nation, have you tried Healthnetics? Well, if you have a few aches and pains, sleep issues, anxiety, stress, whatever it might be, give Healthnetics premium brand CBD a try. It is all natural, THC-free, and made right here in the USA. They offer a 100% money-back guarantee, so you really have nothing to lose. And when you would go to place your order, what you'll want to do is use promo code HRRN, and you're going to get 15% off plus free shipping. So visit healthnetics.com. today and place your order. Again, promo code HRRN, and what a value that is at healthnetics.com. Well, as I told you, the third hour of the program kicks off with In the Room with Sean Clancy. That's a segment we debuted a few weeks ago. It's become extremely popular. He'll sit down with jockey Mario Pino. We'll stroll through racing history. Great story this week from Kurt Becker, and that segment presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. And, of course, my Industry Star of the Week segment coming up at the end of the show. It's an interview with Boris Schwartzman. It's a story you will not want to miss, so make sure you're tuned into that. But that's going to do it for the second hour of the program. Plenty more to come all the way up until 11 a.m. Eastern. I'll kick off the third hour of the show with this week's edition of In the Room with Sean Clancy. Plus, we'll stroll through racing history, as I told you. And if your local station is leaving us at this time, you can continue listening to the third hour of the show nationwide on Sirius 219, XM 201, in the Louisville, Kentucky market on ESPN 680 or on your computer, phone, or tablet with our live streaming at horseracingradio.net. And don't forget that you can follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Another great way to keep up with the show and all of our guests each and every week. Hour 3 of the Equine Forum is coming up next, right after I pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is California Chrome in front, and from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second, but California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby!
Into the final furlong, there will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Gunrunner needs another 16th. It's Gunrunner in front. He'll go out a winner. He's the horse of the year, and he's Gunrunner with an unforgettable performance in the Pegasus World Cup.
And Vino Rosso is right to him on the outside. Vino Rosso has taken the lead, and he powers away under Iran Ortiz Jr. Vino Rosso, like father, like son. The son of Carlin romps in the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back, HRN Nation. Hour 3 rolls on. It's a busy third hour of the program, wrapping up with an emotional visit with Boris Schwartzman that you won't want to miss. That comes up at 10:40 Eastern Time. Well, no Derby points races being contested this weekend because of the postponement of the Southwest Stakes for a second consecutive week. The weather in Arkansas has not been good. You heard from Robertino Diodoro earlier in the program talking about some of the changes he's had to make and the challenges he's facing with his talented three-year-old Keep Me in Mind. Brad Cox was with me earlier as well. You heard from Price Bell Jr., the general manager of Millridge Farm, to open the show, and Hall of Fame jockey Javier Castellano, plus my unsung hero this week, Kevin Moran, just a short time ago. If you missed any portion of the first couple of hours or any of the show, all you have to do is head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. A podcast will be posted for you to listen to at your leisure, horseracingradio.net, Horse Racing Radio Network on Apple Podcasts, another way to listen to the program. Also, if you missed Trainer Talk this past week, my one-on-one, one-hour visit with trainer Todd Fincher, you'll want to go back and listen to that. That show presented by Face It Tipton every Wednesday. Our Bristnet.com call-in show is podcast for you as well. That's every Thursday at 6 Eastern. And the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts with Bobby and Anthony, taking a look at all of the big races around the country this weekend. That podcast is available for you on our website as well. Poll question today. Thought this would be kind of interesting. The poll question is brought to you by OwnerView and the Thoroughbred Owner Conference. If you were given the opportunity to own three racehorses, past or present, which would you choose? Which three are going to be as part of your stable? I told you, Holy Bull, excellent meeting, my top two, no doubt about it. And I love Concern, Breeders' Cup Classic winner, but I think I have to go with the horse that got me hooked on racing in the first place and say, for me, it's Easy Goer. So, you know, there's a boy, I should have expanded this to your top five, but because, you know, I look at a horse like Concern, Strike the Gold. I was a massive Strike the Gold fan for a long time. But I think I'm going to go, I think I have to side with the horse that got me hooked. So I'm going to go Holy Bull, my all-time favorite horse, my all-time favorite filly, excellent meeting. I want her in my stable. And my third one would be Easy Goer. We'll put those three together, and that will be my three. Again, that poll question brought to you by OwnerView and the Thoroughbred Owner Conference. If you were given the opportunity to own three racehorses, past or present, which would you choose? Weigh in now at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, so it's time now for one of our newest segments. It is called In the Room with Sean Clancy, presented by ThisIsHorseRacing.com. And this week, the former champion steeplechase jockey brings you his unique one-on-one jockey-to-jockey conversation with veteran rider Mario Pino.
Hard spun six furlongs, 111 flat. So now this is the final furlong. Mario Pino. Mario Pino. And he wins going away.
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey Mario Pino. The 59-year-old Delaware native stands tall as the 10th leading jockey in the history of the sport, with 6,961 career wins for $130 million in earnings. Good morning, Mario. Glad to have you on the show.
Good morning, Sean. Thank you.
Where are you? What are you doing? I mean, I know you take the winter off. You getting on horses, gearing up for your spring return, or what's your status?
Yes, a matter of fact, it's the last 2 weeks, I've been getting on horses like every time they have breezers on the turf at Palm Meadows Training Center. And, just trying to get back now and breezed about 8 horses so far. And just getting my feet wet right now. Yep.
So has it come naturally? I mean, you come back to you pretty easily. I mean, I know you take some time off. You haven't ridden since the fall. But, I mean, coming back and working horses, is it just like this same old thing?
Yeah, it's like, Sean, it's like they said, riding a bike, you know. I get over there, might be not on a horse for 5 months, throw me up and go, and it's like natural, you know.
Wow.
You know, since you've grown up around horses like you and started when you were young and you know, it's like I said, it's like riding a bike. You know, there's no big deal. And the other thing is I love it too. So that's a big thing too, if you love something. And I love getting on horses and I love the horses and, you know, it makes me feel good. It makes me who I am, you know, when I'm getting on the horses.
Oh, that's brilliant. And your plan is to go back to Presque Isle Downs in the spring?
Yeah, Sean, I'm playing by year, you know, it's they reduced the dates there, you know, 50 days again this year. And kind of like up in the air if I'm going to head back there. But that's my plan so far. But it could change, you know. And like I said, I'm just going to play it by year.
And the other option would be Mid-Atlantic, obviously Delaware, Maryland, or you know, like, where you've made your stomping grounds.
Yeah, no, I live in Florida now. I've been here, like, living here for 7 years. And if I can just get back in maybe in March in Gulfstream and just pick through, you know, some winners there. And, you know, my life is like, do I stop? Do I keep going? I'm like in that middle, I'm like in that fine line right now. And it's a great story. That's Palm Meadows a week ago. And I was talking to Wesley Ward. That's the only guy I really get on horses for. So I said to Wesley, he called me and said, you want to try to get back? I said, yeah. I said, it's a little early, but yeah, I'll come help you. So I got on two horses and I told him the situation that I want to try to win 7,000 races. And I said, well, I don't know if I want to push myself to do it. And he looked at me and goes, are you crazy? You're only 39 wins away. You have to go for it. It's just, you know, you can't sit there and let that go by. And I'm like, you know what I mean? But it is it's something you have to push yourself to do. You know, it's not an easy thing. You know, 39 doesn't sound a lot, but it is on my schedule. You know, which is, you know, I mean, I'm riding 5 months a year. You know what I mean? So it's kind of tough. So right now, you know, he says if I would stay here, I, you know, can ride all his horses here, and you know, that's a big help. Like I said, I'm just going to play it by ear, Sean.
Get him to send the string to Presque Isle. Come on.
You know what? I said that to him. I said that. I said, Wes, you got all these Capito horses running at Turfway, turf horses. You go up there, you know, put some horses up there. I'll definitely go up there if you send, you know, 15 or whatever you can go up there with. But he just said it's just hard to get there and the help and all that. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, for you at this stage of your career, what is the motivation to getting to that 7,000? Is that really the motivation to keep on striving toward it? I know you enjoy it.
Yep, you're right, Sean. You know, I can't imagine myself not riding. So, but there'll be a day soon, you know. But I would like to get 7,000. And if I feel that would be a great place to stop for me at 7,000, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And nine, like you said, like I said, it's not easy to get 39, but it's reachable. And, you know, I probably could have been well past seven if I didn't take these 5 or 6 months off of the last 7 or 8 years. I would have been done past that. But that's the way I played the game, you know. So I did it like my way kind of thing. And it's worked out.
Oh, for sure. You don't get to the numbers that you've gotten to playing it by somebody else's rules. I mean, you have to do it the way you need to do it. I think it keeps you fresh, and I can hear it in your voice every spring when you're gearing up to ride again. I think that means a lot to have that time away from it and get going again.
Exactly. It keeps you motivated and keeps on wanting you to come back. You know, you get that hunger back to come back and ride. And sometimes when you're going all year, you kind of get a little, you know, when you get later in years, you get a little like, oh, we got to go out and do it again. Oh, I got to do it again. I got to go again. You know, now doing it like I am doing it, I enjoy going, you know, to do it. It has me, like, pushes myself. And, you know, I like getting on the horses and feeling and just, you know, like you would know, you're on horses, you feel that power you have underneath you, and it's like a great feeling. And when I do stop, I'm going to really miss probably that the most.
For sure. That's what people ask me, what I miss the most, and I just miss riding the horses. You know, you just certainly always miss winning a race, that thrill of when you cross the wire and you win a race, but ultimately I just miss getting on those horses. You know, they're a really good horse. That moment they step, you know, you get a leg up and they're going to blend their shoulder, bow their neck and blend their shoulder into the walk, and you think, whoa, wow, what is this?
Wow, I know. It's just a feeling that, like, you and me felt that feeling in most jockeys or, you know, wherever ridden before, that power they feel, and that, you know, that never goes away.
No question. Well, how have you stood the test of time? Is it dedication, determination, nutrition, schedule, luck? What is the equation that created this kind of career?
You know, Sean, it's been, I think about it, I kind of got lucky the way I did this in my career, because most guys can't take all 5-6 months to try to come back and ride. And I've been fortunate to come back and get on horses and ride for some awesome trainers, you know, Hall of Fame trainers. And I just go right to it. You know what I mean? And it's a gift, I think, from God. And I, like I said, I keep myself in shape too. And I try to keep my weight down. And I think that me trying to work out all the time and keep myself motivated and my diet and all that, I kind of like, it helps me to prolong my career. You know what I mean? I never get where I have to work really hard to get back. And I think that's helped me in the long run. And like I said, you know, I have great people that I can come back and ride for. So That's a plus. You know, like I said, I can go to Wesley Barn there and get on horses, and he'll say, "You want to ride next week?" I said, "Next week? I just got here." "I'll put you on this one next week." And I'm like, "Well, give me time to get going." You know what I mean? So, you know, it's a good thing that he has confidence in me, and other trainers too that I rode for over the years. You know, some great ones. And I've been very fortunate that way.
Take us back. I mean, talking about a good horse, Hardspun, when did you know that he was that good? Was it the moment, that first step away from the mounting block? Or, I mean, when did you say, wow, this is a different type of horse?
Yeah, I always tell this story, Sean, and I don't know if people heard it or haven't heard it. But when I got on Hardspun, when I did get on him, he walked to the track with Larry Jones, and I didn't even know Larry that well at the time. I just started riding a few for him, and then I got on this two-year-old, you know, Hardspun, beautiful horse, comes out, well-bred horse, going to the track. He said, "This is your next Derby horse." So in the back of my mind, I hear that all the time. You know, and people hear this, jockeys hear this all the time, trainers, whoever, you know, owners, whatever. And so I work them, and we go like 3/8 of a mile. And he doesn't really impress me. You know, I've been on horses that impressed me more, you know, as a two-year-old. He didn't really show that, you know, like he was talking about. So one day we were working along. He was working good, but nothing special. I worked him out of the gate one day with three old horses. You know what I mean? Older horses.
Right.
So we go back to the gate to get his, you know, break him, you know, and all that. And Larry, and they come back with these three old horses. And they said, and I'm looking in the gate. I'm standing there, you know, waiting. So they said, Larry said, put them in there with him. And I go, oh, my God, please don't go with this. These are old horses. They're getting drinker cards and whatever they're doing. And so Hart's Bum was in the inside. And when they, this is at Delaware Park, and when they broke, the Hart's Bum stood there. He didn't break. You know, he's a three-year-old, you know, it's like his first time breaking. Or on like second or three, you know, where he was inexperienced. But when he felt that pressure of that starting gate and them horses draw away from him, like they opened up like 4 or 5 on him right away. Now dirt's hitting him, and he just grabbed the bridle and just took me to him like I had to get to the outside so fast because I was going to run over him.
Wow.
Down the backside. And I tipped out, and I flew by him and, you know, just drew away. And it was, and that was the time my eyes were like saucers when I pulled up. Larry, too. He ran up to me with the pony, and his eyes were like, oh, my God, what was that? And I said, Larry, this one, that was unbelievable. And that was the day that after that he was breezing like a great horse.
Wow. You know what
I mean? I mean, I have never been on – I've been on some really good horses, but that day as a two-year-old, what he was doing was just incredible. And like I said, the first time he went to the paddock at Delaware Park, he come in there like a five-year-old.
Wow.
You know what I mean? He was blew up like a balloon. They were little teeny horses, and here he is this – and he wasn't a really big horse, but – he just blew himself up. He knew what he was doing, and just, you know, it's history after that. I mean, he was
for sure
an incredible horse.
Describe the feeling turning for home at the Kentucky Derby and the bounce. I mean, I certainly probably thought you were going to win it. I mean, what's that like?
Oh, yeah. So, and that was like, well, actually, I thought when I come to the quarter pole, I was still kind of like thinking I still have some horse, and I did. I had, right. You know, I know he kind of went a little fast early because he made it kind of an easy front. And just cruising along, I didn't want to take nothing out of his stride because he was kind of a horse that he was kind of a free-running horse. He just liked to just get going. And you kind of just dropped your hands down and let him just float along, and he just keep giving, you know what I mean? If you kind of restrained him, he didn't have the same finish, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So anyway.
Sure.
I let him just float and float and float, and I said, man, I tipped for home, and I kind of felt like I had horse, and I, talking about the sound of the crowd, you know, I really don't never hear the crowd. I never do, you know what I mean, in a race. I never hear people hollering, you know, you're running. But this time I really did. When I turned for home straight away, it was like I was hitting this sound barrier. It was, you know, it was just like going through my ears, and I said, God, I still have some horse, and soon as I felt that, here comes the one horse past me. But it was all good, and he ran good that day, and it was just a joy to ride him. A good horse like that, and, you know, but it was all good riding him. I knew he was going to be a good sire, too, because of his bloodlines and his speed. You know, he had the natural speed, and you know, and he throws horses sprinting long turf. He does, you know, he's just an all-class horse.
And look, a lot was made about Calvin Burrell's ride, you know, getting up the rail. But don't forget, he went around you.
That's true. Larry used to say, Mario, Larry Jones used to tell me that all the time. Mario, I know Calvin's going to try to get through on all these horses. He'll get through the field. He said, but don't let him get through you. Okay, so I was always peeking back, looking at that.
Exactly.
Want to ride the rail the whole way, but
He went around one horse, and that was that's a pretty good ride. So that's Mario Pino. Look, you're 39 wins away from 7,000, and all the owners and trainers out there, let's get Mario on some winners when we count it down. 39 to go. Mario, you've been a joy to watch in your career, and we're counting down the next 39. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me on.
I got to tell you, so many of you have sent messages to me telling me how much you've enjoyed that segment, the new edition of Unsung Heroes that you heard in the second half of the program. But listen, when you put Sean Clancy in a virtual jocks room as we're doing it, but even when he goes into a regular jocks room before COVID and he sits down with jockeys, his perspective and those conversations are so insightful, and they're so different from anything else that you're going to get. I mean, Sean has played the game. Sean knows the intricacies of what it takes to be a jockey. And when, you know, Mario Pino starts talking, that hard spun story, how good was that? Just classic. And my thanks to Mario. My thanks to Sean for doing that. Again, we'll bring you in the room with Sean Clancy every single week here on the Equine Forum. So next week we'll have a brand new jockey, and looking forward to hearing those stories too. You can go back, by the way, and listen to podcasts of each of those segments. They're available for you on our website at horseracingradio.net. So make sure you check them out and do yourself a favor and listen to them. Kendrick Carmouche, Trevor McCarthy, Junior Alvarado last week, and now Mario Pino sitting down one-on-one with Sean Clancy. All right, still to come here in the third hour of the program, it is your stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker. That's in the next segment. That's a special segment that you won't want to miss. And then a really, really amazing interview. I think it's going to be amazing anyway. It's an amazing story coming up at 10:40 Eastern with Boris Schwartzman, the longtime Peruvian owner and breeder who had four of his stallions killed when eight gunmen burst into his farm in Peru back in 2019. He thought about giving it up. He is not. He is persevering. He is back in the business, and he'll join me coming up right around 10:40 Eastern time this morning. Stay with me. This is the Equine Forum on HRN.
Justify, a four-time Grade 1 winner, Eclipse Champion 3-year-old, Horse of the Year, and the only undefeated Triple Crown winner. By Sire of Sires, Scat Daddy, Justify's first foals sold for up to $600,000 at the recent November sales, while his in-foal mares were led by the three-time Grade 1 winning daughter of Uncle Mo, Bast, who sold for $4.2 million to Spendthrift Farm. Justify has covered over 80 Grade 1 winners or dams of Grade 1 winners in his first 2 years at Ashford. Call the team at Ashford today to book your mare while there are still seasons available.
Saturday, February 20th, the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park will run its Winter Sprint Fest 2021 Stakes Day with a 9-race program featuring 6 stakes, 2 graded, worth $900,000 in purses. Co-headlining the card are the $250,000 Run Happy Barbara Fritchie Grade 3 for females and the $250,000 General George Grade 3. Post time, 12:25 p.m. Kick back and catch the live stream from home and visit firstbet.com to make a bet or stop by one of 8 off-track betting locations throughout the state to watch and wager. Visit MarylandJockeyClub.com for OTB details.
Championship meet is on at Gulfstream Park. World-class racing Wednesday through Sunday. Thoroughbred stakes action continues with the Grade 2 Phasic Tipton Fountain of Youth and Grade 1 Florida Derby. Stay in the action from your mobile phone with the First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. First Bet offers predicted picks, high-definition live stream races, replays, and live betting from the palm of your hand. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for more information. That's GulfstreamPark.com.
Hi, I'm Leah Jarmati, and I love listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jorge Chavez gets busy on the Narcos, and they're surging as they move toward the top of the stretch. And Conga Reyes come away with the lead. Here comes his stablemate, Point Given, on the outside. They're in three quarters in 109-1. Record time here in the Derby at the top of the stretch. And it is Conga Reyes who is the lead. Here comes Monarcos under a heavy drive on the far outside. Invisible Ink is there. Point Given, not today. 1 furlong left. Here comes Monarcos, who sweeps to the lead. He's pulling away by 2. He's pulling away by 3. Jorge Chavez and Monarcos have won the K.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Saturday morning. It's been a very busy show. We have covered an awful lot of ground. And how about that one? Tom Durkin with the call of the 2001 Run for the Roses. Chop Chop, Jorge Chavez, and Monarcos just drawing away from the field. That was such a powerful stretch run by Monarcos. And you heard Tom Durkin say he was as fast as Secretary at 159.97, the final running time for the mile and a quarter back in 2001. And you remember Monarcos was 13th early on and started that run and really just blew past the field. As they say, went by as if the rest of them were tied to a post. Invisible Ink, second Congaree, third Thunder Blitz, fourth Point Given was fifth. And with that, it is time to join Kurt Becker for this week's Stroll Through Racing History, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland.
Hello, I'm Kurt Becker. Thanks for joining me as I take another stroll through racing history, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. He lost by a nose in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and was beaten nearly 12 lengths as the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. But he later won four consecutive million-dollar races and became the first horse of the year ever trained by Bob Baffert. His name was Point Given. Owned and bred by the Thoroughbred Corporation of Ahmed Bin Salman, Point Given was a son of Kentucky Derby and Belmont winner Thunder Gulch. In August of 2000, Point Given made his debut at Belmar, finishing runner-up at odds of 19-1. He broke his maiden 2 weeks later at the same track, and then shipped to Kentucky for a victory in the Grade 3 Kentucky Cup Juvenile at Turfway Park. Following a runner-up effort in the Grade 1 Champaign in New York, Point Given came back to Kentucky to Churchill Downs for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He came from last on the final turn that day and passed every foe except one.
Coming with his late run from the back of the pack, Point Given, here's Macho Uno! Macho Uno coming on to take the lead as Point Given flies it up. Macho Uno veers up and finishes in a photo with the oncoming Point Given.
Macho Uno prevailed by a nose over Point Given that afternoon. Despite the loss, Bob Baffert described Point Given as a horse with a big future, calling the chestnut colt a big kid who had yet to mature. 6 months later, and following a victory in the Santa Anita Derby, Point Given returned to Churchill Downs for the 127th running of the Kentucky Derby, and he was a different horse. He stood 17 hands and weighed 1,250 pounds. Baffert now described him as a big, powerful horse with all of the athletic trimmings. If you were going to sit in a lab and build a Derby horse, said Baffert, this is the horse that you would build. He's got size, stamina, power, the body, the mind, and he's fast. Baffert was confident he had the horse to win the Derby. But Point Given, the 9-5 favorite, faded in the stretch and was beaten nearly 12 lengths by Monarcos. But there were two more legs of the Triple Crown yet to be run, and the big chestnut was ready for the challenge. Point Given won the Preakness Stakes as the slight favorite over Monarcos before a record crowd of 60,000. And then he uncorked an eye-popping performance in the Belmont Stakes. Tom Durkin gives us the call.
But it's Point Given who comes roaring off the turn with a widening lead. He's pulling away to lead by five. He's pulling away to lead by a half a dozen lengths here at the eighth hole. Then it's A.P. Valentine followed by Monarcos. Dollar Bill is moving way too late. Here is a powerful, compelling performance by Point Given. He is under the line to win the Belmont by 11 lengths at the finish. Sensational effort here.
It was a 12-length victory for Point Given in the Belmont, the seventh largest margin of victory in the race's storied history. And he wasn't done. Some 57 days later, and despite having lost 24 days of training due to a tender foot, Point Given won the Haskell Stakes at Monmouth Park in New Jersey before a record crowd of 47,000. And in what would be the final start of his career, he won the Travers Stakes at Saratoga with a record turnout of 60,000 on hand. Point Given had become the first horse ever to win four consecutive races for a purse of $1 million or more. On August 31st, 2001, Baffert announced that Point Given was being retired from racing because of a strained tendon in his left front leg. Despite missing the Breeders' Cup Classic, Point Given was still named Horse of the Year, the first ever for Baffert. He retired with 9 wins from 13 starts and $3.6 million in earnings, and he was one of only 5 horses in history to win the Preakness, the Belmont, and the Travers Stakes. He was voted into the Hall of Fame in 2010. Following a stallion career in which he sired 15 graded stakes winners, Point Given was pensioned and relocated to the Kentucky Horse Park. He is now 23 years of age, and 2021 marks the 20th anniversary of his Horse of the Year campaign. Please join me again next week as I take another stroll through racing history, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. For HRRN, I'm Kurt Becker.
Another fantastic piece. My thanks to Kurt for putting that together and looking back on Horse of the Year Point Given. He was the type of horse, and I think, you know, as Kurt alluded to in that piece, when you talk to Bob Baffert, and I've done it many, many times over the years, and you ask him about the one or two horses that he'd like to have a do-over with, Point Given's Kentucky Derby, he'd like to have that one back again. He'd like to have another shot at that because I think he feels like he had the best horse that day. Things didn't work out, but that's one that is still, to this day, haunting Bob Baffert. As much success as he's had in that race, he'd like to have another crack at it with Point Given. He's going to have a crack at the Saudi Cup coming up in just a little while. Post time for the Saudi Cup is edging ever closer, 12:40 Eastern. He sends out the ultra-talented Charlatan, who takes on Nick Sko. They're expected to be the top two choices in that race later today. And you heard from Brad Cox earlier talking about Nick Sko and how impressed he is with the way that this horse has just picked it up and trained and done everything, the way he's just improved with each and every start. And he's going to be a handful today. But I told you in the first segment of the show that Mike Smith returns to Saudi Arabia to ride Charlatan. And if you look at what happened to Mike last year, you remember he was stripped of his estimated $210,000 in prize money for his second-place finish aboard Midnight Bisou, and then he was hit with a 9-day suspension for, quote-unquote, breaching whip rules, the biggest penalty ever levied against a jockey in the history of horse racing. He also got hit with another 2-day ban for failing to weigh in after a race. Now, Big Money Mike, who has been in the winner's circle for countless races in his career, doesn't forget to weigh in after a race. Something was goofy about that. So he hit with a suspension there. I said at the top of the show that this, say what you want, Mike is being politically correct. He's saying all the right things. This is a redemption mission for Mike Smith. He wants to get there. He wants to make sure that Charlatan gets to the wire first today. If my money in this race is going on Big Money Mike and Charlatan, because this is a redemption mission. He won't say it publicly. He's too classy. But I guarantee you that Mike has had his game face on since he arrived back in Saudi Arabia. Somebody takes 200 G's out of your pocket, suspends you for an extended series of days, preventing you from earning even more money. Yeah, he said it's not personal, but you're damn right. This is personal. And Mike's taking it personally. I can almost guarantee you that. He wants to win this so bad. And if Charlatan is good enough today, Mike Smith will get his redemption, whether he wants to call it that or not. Should be fun to watch. Keep an eye on that coming up in just a little bit. The Saudi Cup, again, post time for that race is 12:40 Eastern, 9:40 Pacific. Going to get to another break. When I come back, it is our industry star of the week. I'll give it away right now. It is Boris Schwartzman, the longtime Peruvian owner and breeder. His story is amazing. What he went through in 2019 is something that is unthinkable to anybody here in the United States, certainly anywhere in the world, and even in Peru. Just unthinkable that this would happen. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Oscar Performance, the pinnacle of success as a precocious juvenile and again at 3.
Oscar Performance, bravo! He wins the juvenile turf.
Oscar Performance has won the Secretary of State's.
Oscar Performance goes all the way in the Belmont Derby Invitational.
And the pinnacle of success at 4, equaling the world record for a mile in the Grade 3 poker and dominating the competition in the Grade 1 Woodbine Mile.
But it's Oscar Performance shrugs them off. A gate-to-wire winner.
Oscar Performance, standing at Millridge.
Pit Oak Stud's Alternation ranks highly among Kentucky's fourth crop sires by percentage of black type winners from runners. With nearly $5.5 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by five black type horses in 2020. His brilliant Kentucky Oaks winner, Serengeti Empress, won the Grade 1 Ballerina at Saratoga and was runner-up in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. First or second in six Grade 1 events, Serengeti Empress amassed over $2.1 million. Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
1 minute 13.06 seconds. Maxfield asserts. Maxfield has taken the lead from Blackberry Wine, but now they're into this final fairgrounds furlong with Sonneman in third. Chess Chief and Dinar, they come past the 16th with Laurent Giroux. Here's Maxfield. He's now 5 for 5. Maxfield, magnificent in the mineshaft. He won by 4.
Maxfield did it again. He ran his record to a perfect 5 for 5 with another impressive win, this time in the Grade 3 mineshaft at Fairgrounds last Saturday. And that big win makes Maxfield your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense. Maxfield became his third graded stakes winner in 2021, along with three-year-olds Concert Tour and Zodgel. No stallion has more. Visit DarleyAmerica.com to learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Cyrus Alexander up on the outside. Rocket Time, fourth, trying to gain from the outside under a left-handed whip. Three quarters, 110.24. They're past the furlong pole in the Lone Star Park handicap. Cyrus Alexander has the lead from Shotgun Cowboy. And Cyrus Alexander is drawing clear to become a graded winner here under Martin Garcia. Cyrus Alexander by 3.5 on the wire to Shotgun Cowboy. Rocket Time was third and Spider's Alibi fourth.
Cyrus Alexander, a big win in the 2016 Lone Star Park handicap. As you heard, that made him a graded stakes winner. He was one of the stallions who was standing at Boris Schwartzman's farm in Peru. And the farm stallion roster, in addition to Cyrus Alexander, a son of Medaglia d'Oro, included a graded stakes placed son of AP Indy named Timely Advice, Group 1 winner and Peruvian champion Kung Fu Mambo, and Shuttle Stallion the Lieutenant, a Grade 3 winning half-brother to Triple Crown winner Justify, who was standing at Sequel Stallions in New York. I mentioned this throughout the program, and you'll get a chance to hear from Boris Schwartzman, the owner of that farm, coming up here in just a minute. He is in Peru. He's going to connect to us from Peru, and we'll get a chance to hear his version of the story here. It's going to be emotional, no doubt about it, but his dream of building the stallion band and putting this pieces together just came crashing down on the night of December 21st, 2019, when 8 armed intruders came to the farm. They overpowered the night watchman and killed 4 stallions for their meat. No arrests were made for the crime, and I'll get a chance to talk to Boris about it coming up shortly and what he's gone through since that time. And, you know, he actually thought about, you know, forget it, I'm going to get out of the business. I can't ask people to send a shuttle stallion here anymore. How am I going to do that? Nobody's going to want to send any horses down here. But he's back and rebuilding. There's an article that Eric Mitchell wrote about Boris that's on the Blood Horse. It came out about a month ago now, January 14th, you can go back and look it up. Schwartzman works to turn tragedy into triumph. And it talks about how he is rebuilding his operation in Kentucky. Got a chance to catch up with him when he was in town at the Keeneland November breeding stock sale last year. So really looking forward to this visit coming up again. Boris will join me from Peru momentarily. Keep those responses coming to the poll question. The poll question today brought to you by OwnerView and the Thoroughbred Owner Conference at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. If you were given the opportunity to own 3 racehorses, past or present, which would you choose? So many of you taking time to respond. Please keep those coming. I want to remind you that the February 20th issue of Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet is another cover-to-cover read. It includes features such as Behind the Breeding. Stone Street Farm shares insights coinciding with the beginning of breeding season. That's by Lenny Shulman. Smooth Ice, the Wyckoff family's Three Diamonds Farm, hits its stride. Another one by Lenny Shulman. Young Executives, New Ideas at Santa Anita. Chris Mers and Nate Newby are trying new things. I've known Nate Newby for many, many years now. He has done a fantastic job with the marketing side of things at Santa Anita. Really sharp guy. I don't know Chris nearly as well, but Nate is fantastic, so make sure you check out that article. And then Interactions That Heal, Saratoga War Horse Aids National Guard Amid Pandemic. Had a chance to catch up with them at one point. And the work that they do with Saratoga War Horse is incredible. So head over to Blood Horse and check out that article too. Download a copy of the issue now from the Blood Horse Magazine app via the App Store or Google Play, or you can subscribe at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. And, of course, you always have the Blood Horse Daily as well that you can check out. So a lot of great things happening at Blood Horse. And, again, the story written by Eric Mitchell back on January 14th about Boris Schwartzman is one you'll want to look up, because Boris is here to tell me the entire story now. So if you missed any of this, you can't listen to the entire interview. Shame on you, first of all. But go back and check out that article. It is really, really good. Boris, first of all, I appreciate you taking the time to join us all the way from Peru this morning. Thank you so much, my friend. Good morning.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for having me. It's my honor.
Well, let me tell you, it is my honor because of what you have gone through and the way you've persevered. I've told the story a couple of times now on the show when I was referencing our interview coming up right now. When I mentioned December 21st, 2019, what are some of the things that immediately come to mind, Boris?
Devastation, really. Look, Peru is a small country in the thoroughbred world, but we are part of Book One, so we are on the same page as Ireland, France, Australia, Japan, the U.S., and we have right now around 600 foals born each year. So we're a small country, and to be in Book One, it's really important. And our farm here is the oldest and most traditional farm. We're 60 years old, and we really built that year after year, going to Newmarket or going to Dunkster or going to Keeneland and buying the best bloodlines available for a country like ours. And to have it just wiped out in one night, it was really, like I said, devastating.
Yeah, it's unimaginable that something like that would happen, but it did. Boris, in your words, mm-hmm. tell us what that night was like. What happened that night?
Well, we had four stallions there, four top stallions and 50 mares, and we have a pretty good security. But on Saturday in the afternoon, a few people went over the walls because we have about 80 acres and it's all walled and we have security, but they went through the walls and tied the security guys and then went after the stallions, and not knowing who the horses are, but since the stallions are in their own boxes, very, very big boxes, stallions type boxes, and they're closed. It was easy for them to work there during the whole about 12 hours, which horse. It's terrible. And I got a call around 5 o'clock in the morning and tell me that, and I didn't understand what they were saying because I was in shock when they were saying that. So it was, all people that are involved in horses and you guys are in Kentucky, so you know more than any almost any other country, with exception with Ireland or England, what it's like to be in this passionate world of horses, to have 60-plus years just wiped out. It's so hard to put in words.
Yeah, it's devastating. And at that point, Boris, I can imagine that you had to make some difficult decisions. Did you think about just completely walking away from the game and getting into something completely different?
Well, you know, since I was very young, I've been involved in with thoroughbreds and just running this farm here, which is an institution. It's really known, at least in all South America, as one of the premier farms. And for me, it's a very important institution. If you say, let's say, the Dallas Cowboys or the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm not comparing it to that, but it's the way it's seen here. So I don't know what I was thinking in those first hours. I'm sure I wasn't thinking of walking away. Definitely walking away from here in Peru, yes. But I've done some things in the States on and off, and I really need this. This is an important part of my life. You know, it's my passion. It's my adrenaline. I can't live without it. So when things started clearing up a little bit, I started thinking of starting to do something in the U.S. I met Norette Farrell in the year 2004. I was one of her first clients. She's really such a wonderful person. And we've done so much with her, bringing top horses here to Peru and everything. And she's helped me along the way that when I thought of the U.S., I thought I have Norette. And she's a world of support, even though I'm probably a very small client in her portfolio. She is a great person. I always say she's like heaven sent.
Yeah, heaven sent, and it's great to have somebody like that can come and lift you up. Because, Boris, after what happened, I know that even though you say that this is a passion, I had to be in it, there had to be a part of you that said, boy, I just can't put myself through the emotional pain if something like this would ever happen again. Am I correct in saying that you closed the farm?
You are completely correct. You are completely correct. I want to tell you something. I started bringing shuttle horses to Peru. I was the first ones to do it. I'm the farm that most shuttle horses came to. We really worked it first with Cece Williams. She was so well known in the thoroughbred business, and then with Norette. And I said, if we don't have top stallions in our farm, we simply can't keep running the farm here. And no one is going to want to send a shuttle horse here to Peru. So I just thought if I would buy a horse and bring it here, I couldn't bear to have this happen again. Now, you've heard this expression so many times, lightning never strikes twice. But what if it did? And you know, just to give you an idea of the type of mares we had 45 mares, and I'm just going to give you some of the broodmare size that we had: Candy Rides, 2 Unbridled, Johannesburg, Mineshaft, Kitten's Joy, 2 Exchange Rates. I wrote it down because there are several. Freud, Broken Bow, Vindication, Forestry, Dynaformer, 2 Flight Americans, Forest Wildcat, 2 Giant Causeways. I mean, it was Stormy Atlantic. Not just those mares by those great broodmare sires. I mean, they were top families, and we built a great broodmare band that could have been in Kentucky. And we had four top stallions. One of them was Timely Advice, a sixth-place APMD that we bought from Pin Oak. The other one was Kung Fu Mambo. He's a giant causeway. He is a great sire here. He's out of a King Mambo half-sister to Dream Supreme. He's a Group 1 winner. And our top stallion here and all our dreams were put on him is Cyrus Alexander. He was the fifth highest foal sold in the U.S. In the year 2013. He cost $1,700,000. He was bought by Stone Street and Spendrift. And he was one of the horses there. He was a Group 3 winner. And his first foals are going to start racing this year. So everything just you can imagine, everything we built there, it's not just any horses or it was a top operation.
You are now 14 months removed from that horrific incident, Boris. What is your involvement in the industry and in the business look like today?
Well, what I did here is we have the farm. We have last crop of Cyrus Alexander, the horse that I just told you about. His foals are going to race this year, and I have another crop which will be sold this year. Then I have foals by the lieutenant, the group three half brother to Justify, that was involved here that night in the incident. And after that, I don't have any horses here. Of all the mares I gave you, like 45 of them, I just kept 7, which I haven't bred, because I don't have a stallion or I don't have a possibility of getting stallions here in Peru of the level that I wanted. So I shifted to Kentucky. I'm really, I'm not healed. I'm never going to be healed, but I'm very, like a little kid in a candy store with the Kentucky operation. I've started breeding in Shawhan. I was there in the November sale. We bought a very nice mare, in Foal to Mastery. We wanted a few weanlings that, we really went, 6 figures and we got blown out. We thought it was a buyer's market and wasn't. That's very good for the industry. And this year, we're going on a shopping spree in November. So, we're shifting everything to Kentucky. We'll start building what we built here, over there, not in the same size because here I have my farm and there, over there I'm going to be at Shawhan. But, I will focus on quality more than quantity, and this is helping me a lot. I'm really very happy to be involved in Kentucky.
Well, Boris, nobody should have to go through what you have gone through and your family has gone through in this industry. I can't thank you enough for being with me this morning to tell your story. I have a segment every week that is dedicated to the industry star of the week. It is sponsored by my good friend Stuart Morris, and I couldn't think of anybody more appropriate to be the industry star of the week on this morning than you, my friend. So congratulations on that honor, and I hope to one day get a chance to meet you when you're in town here in Lexington, Kentucky. But keep up the wonderful work and keep persevering. And again, thank you so much, Boris, for taking the time.
Mike, thank you so much. I'm honored. I've read about Stuart Morris. Sure, I've read about him in the Blood Horse and everything. And well, what I always tell people who are meeting me around the world and knowing a little bit what happened, and I always tell them that this story will say to be continued. And I hope that in the future I can really make some noise regarding horses who end up in the winner's circle and helping the breed in any way I can in Kentucky also. So
sure we'll meet there. I'll probably be there in November for about 10 days, and I can't wait for the November sale to come faster. And thank you so much, Mike, and I'll probably meet you there. And a big hello to all your listeners for your show.
Boris, appreciate it, my friend. Thanks so much. Take care, stay safe, and keep up the wonderful work now.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Boris Schwartzman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. What a story, man. And so inspirational to see what he's doing now. Just fantastic. I'm back to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum right after this on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti is off to a strong start at stud. A leading sire amongst his crop by percentage of stakes horses, top runners by Caraconti include graded stakes winners Kenzai Warrior.
But Kenzai Warrior is sticking his head down and getting up. Kenzai Warrior wins the Horace Hill.
Sole Volante.
On the outside, Sole Volante runs by the leader. It's Sole Volante in front and going away.
Two-year-old stakes winner Spanish Love Affair.
16th to go, Spanish Love Affair almost home. Spanish Love Affair lives up to the hype and wins it 1-2.
And dual surface dynamo, Princess Grace.
16th to go, Princess Grace still in front. Pasta Plate is trying hard, but she's second to Princess Grace, streaking under the wire, the three-length winner.
A rising star with greatest stakes winners on both dirt and turf, Caraconti, standing at Gainsway.
Racing fans, you can watch every Santa Anita race free of charge at santaanita.com/live, and you can watch and wager at First Bet. That's first.com/bet. Make plans to join us online this weekend. On Saturday, a field of 10 older fillies and mares will go 1 mile on turf in the Grade 2 $200,000 Buena Vista, and we'll also have Leg 2 of the 10-man starter distance series at 1¼ miles on grass. On Sunday, California-bred fillies and mares will go 6 furlongs on the main track in the $100,000 Spring Fever Stakes. Looking ahead to Saturday, March 6th, we'll have 5 stakes, including the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap and the Grade 2 San Felipe, one of America's most important Derby preps. With first post time at 12:30, join us early at 11:20 a.m. as track announcer Frank Miramati and Tom Quigley handicap each day's card at santaanita.com/live.
There's a corner of Kentucky in Bourbon County, which some refer to as the Promised Land. There's something in the soil and water that make it something special. So special that some of the world's greatest horsemen have staked their claim in the soil just outside of Paris. Iconic names such as Claiborne, Coolmore, Stone, and Darley grace the fence lines which have housed champions for generations. The name Alapa shines as a tribute to the Gilded Age, sharing the stature and grandeur of its neighbors. Born from the wealth, passion, and imagination of Edward Sims, no expense was spared to fulfill his vision. Sims was in the same league as John Madden and Arthur B. Hancock Sr. as a commercial breeder. The torch has been passed. Welcome to Hill and Dale at Alapa.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, I got so into that interview with Boris that I forgot to tell you, not only is our industry star of the week, is he our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, but I forgot to tell you that Stuart offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation and wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, Malagasy, and South Bend, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major stales. Well, what a way to end the show with that story. And again, my thanks to Boris for taking the time. It has been a busy show. Kicked it off early on with Price Bell Jr., the general manager of Millridge, talking about Oscar Performance. Hall of Fame jockey Javier Castellano was here. Trainer Brad Cox and trainer Robertino Diodoro stopped by for a visit as well. This week's unsung hero, presented by Claiborne, was Kevin Moran from Keeneland. That was an enjoyable visit. In the Room with Sean Clancy featured the one-on-one conversation with jockey Mario Pino and, of course, Boris Schwartzman just a short time ago. My thanks to each and every one of them for helping to make this show possible, to all the sponsors involved with all the special segments we are bringing your way. My thanks to them as well. Poll question brought to you by OwnerView and the Thoroughbred Owner Conference. If you were given the opportunity to own three racehorses, past or present, which would you choose? Thank you to everybody who took time to weigh in on the question at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. If you missed any portion of the show, head to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out the podcast. You can also do that Apple Podcast, Horse Racing Radio Network on there. For my producer, Lee Delapina, for Chauncey handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Equine Forum. Go Steelers.